Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 207. Pat and I are very aggravated. We've been putting together the Build a Deadpool thing with the little paper thing.
Outrage.
Outrage. No, just frustrated.
Something to cover the back of his leg.
Don't look at the back.
There's a big space there.
There'll be tape there holding it together. So Pat, hopefully he doesn't say any bad words, but he's thinking them.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to put the arms on. I love that those pieces are called dammits.
You never heard that before?
No.
The time we got the explicit tag.
Just find that. No. That's only if I say no.
That works fine.
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Okay. Uh-oh. Can Pat...
Pat can multitask.
Pat has to multitask now because there's Pat's news. But I will say the biggest piece of news really isn't news yet. We don't know anything. But it's all the...
Everyone seems like they know
the Bleeding Cool reporting on Rebirth at DC.
Like 75 articles yesterday.
Yeah.
For a rumor, it has a lot.
Oh, because it was on Bleeding Cool.
You know what I mean?
I really hope that it's someone that's just like...
You didn't read
information.
In your Pat's news?
It's a deal.
I don't go on Bleeding Cool because it's all clickbait anyway.
It's clickbait, but
I'm not saying that they don't always have. Look, they do occasionally get things right, but the sun shines on the dog's ass some days.
I hate going to Bleeding Cool. It's a terrible experience.
Yeah.
I feel dirty afterwards. But, and I hate to say this, it's still the better place to get like everything, even though it's a terrible experience.
It's a good place for terrible experiences. Okay.
I feel awful now. No, I'm angry.
See? There you go. Okay, well, I don't have a whole lot of news, but there were a few things.
That's expression shared. Sure.
I'm not going to acknowledge it. Just let him be depressed. I'm going to drive on with Pat's news. Jada Pinkett Smith is supposed to be returning to Gotham.
Yeah.
Which I wonder... I hope they do it as a flashback. Rather than bringing her, like, not that it's a Batman show, I get it.
It's not
but
a Batman show.
Well, but it is. But it's been somewhat grounded to this point. And to bring a character back from the dead already, okay.
This show has gone full, like, wackiness.
No.
All right.
Like, Adam wackiness?
Not Adam wackiness. I just feel like they will do anything.
Okay. Yes, they've gone over the top on a couple things, but it's stayed relatively grounded.
I think Mr. Freeze was the... Like,
they had a bunch of people that saw
oddest thing
the TV and it started going the Joker cackles and losing their minds.
They live in Gotham. They probably didn't have that great minds anyway.
I think the problem is almost that they went full Batman on it. They just shouldn't have.
Well,
like at that point, I get why they did, because
I really hope
is what
I really hope
it.
This is like Earth 3, and he becomes Owlman.
That would be awesome, actually. How many people would that throw off? But who cares? Because if the show's ending, who cares?
It's just a big F you to everybody that's watched it for the last couple of years.
It just it's of all the shows, I hate this one the most. And we still record it, and it took me 5 weeks before I finally watched the most recent episode, because I was looking at the DVR, and there was nothing else. Like, I guess I'll watch Gotham.
I'll sit and watch it, but it isn't my favorite.
It's awful.
No, it's not my favorite either,
I don't think they thought it out. I think it'll stay around just because it is Batman-related. I feel like they're missing, like, the point of telling a Batman, like, not a Batman origin story, but a Gotham kind of
origin. Are there any characters on the show that you think are really, you know, well done?
Harvey Bullock.
Yeah.
His writing lacks,
and
but he's a good actor.
I think that's what
well
like, I like
this
the actor.
Season. I don't think they've used him that much in this season. Jim Gordon's okay, but
just gunned a guy down.
Yeah,
after he let the Penguin beat him up.
Yeah, he's done some very un-Gordon-like
things.
That's
true. Yeah, that would have been a Gordon.
He's not Jim Gordon.
He wouldn't have done that.
I like Alfred.
I think they should have just used year one as their their basis on this. I think they should have just focused on... The thing is, I don't think you can make a show out of this type of thing. Like, it's such a... I don't know. There's just... Because of what they're trying to do with it, I don't
think
they
can. There's so many police procedurals that are successful on TV. They could have made a GCPD show.
I think they could have made it, not with what they're trying to make.
But I think the problem is
they're trying to throw everything into it.
But what did you have before Batman, really? It was the Mafia.
Yeah.
And that's it.
But that's just it.
That would
have been a good show.
That isn't where they went. Instead, they went straight out. Okay, we got to have the Batman villain.
They started with it, and I don't know why we're still talking about this, but they started with that, and then said, "Okay, now let's get into his rogues gallery."
Crazy.
What was on episode two where they had the Balloon Man? I mean, that character would have fit in just fine in the 1966 Batman.
Yeah, we already have Riddler and Penguin, being buddy-buddy, and it's...
Anyway.
Stupid show.
He's coming close. The next one was Cartoon Network is going to be having a new Justice League cartoon. And Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill are returning to do their voices.
Which I'm good with.
I am too.
What do you think of the look of that character?
It looked very Darwin Cookish to me.
A lot of smiles.
Yeah.
That
was the part that kind of threw me. I wasn't expecting that. When they announced a Justice League cartoon, I was expecting something a little bigger.
I was expecting something more...
This looks too friendly.
Well, I get that it's Cartoon Network, but I expected something more dark in tone, similar to the Batman the Animated Series. Because that's the direction they're going with the movies. I assume that they would go that direction with this.
But even with Cartoon Network, like, Batman Brave and the Bold not being a dark show.
I never saw that, so I don't...
It was a pretty decent show.
Okay.
If you...
Someone said it was very Silver Age-ish.
Yeah, and that's what was kind of neat about it.
Okay.
So they can do stuff like that. This didn't have a feel like that at all.
And this he's in this. Diedrich Bader is in this.
Far.
Booster Gold.
Oh,
okay.
That's different. He did a good, like, Silver
and
Age Batman.
James Woods is going to be Lex Luthor.
Okay.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't see all that cast. I just saw Hamill and Kevin Conroy.
This is Pat's News. You're supposed to know this.
I told you I was traveling this
I read
week.
It on Bleeding Cool.
Pat's News, Josh's sources.
Yeah, that's all right. The next one was they apparently cast Iron Fist for...
Yeah, Luke Cage said that, I think.
Yeah. And they also got a writer for the show, which is, I guess, a positive that it's moving forward. I'm a little surprised, though. If they cast Iron Fist, why haven't they announced that yet? That's almost scary.
What did the actor of Luke Cage just slip? And he just released information he shouldn't have?
Well, I guess he figures he's Luke Cage. What are they going to do?
Marty Cass, are they going to change it?
Yeah, they're halfway through filming his series, and they've already had Jessica Jones. I can't, they're not going to Terrence Howard him.
I assumed he would be one of those characters that they would introduce in Luke Cage.
That's what I thought, too.
I thought they'd know that already, but...
No, I didn't picture him to show up till the end of the series.
Yeah,
they start a Heroes for Hire as the last... episode or whatever, but maybe not. Who knows? Maybe they do want to focus more on Luke Cage's origin.
I'd actually rather see it turn into Heroes for Hire than Defenders, because I think that just makes more sense for those characters.
I feel like Netflix, their original programming is coming dangerously close to jumping the shark. They just announced they're creating a Stretch Armstrong show.
What?
He stretches in the next week.
A Stretch Armstrong show on Netflix.
It's still going to be better than Mr. Fantastic. Okay.
Which is now at a Redbox, which I might actually pick up just to see how awful it is.
I saw the other...
Oh, you lost, Colin. You lost $500.
I saw the other day the... it was at Target for $10 already. I'm like, by Christmas, it's going to be a dollar.
Yeah. You'll be able to own it.
And I might get it at that point. I might pay a dollar for it.
You want to own it just because one day you'll be like, watch how sucky this movie was in the future?
No, because if it's a dollar for Redbox or a dollar to own it, I'd rather own it just You know, that way, if I get halfway through and, like, I can't watch this crap, and then a month later, like, I'm just going to suffer through it and finish the movie, then I can do that.
Best Buy should give it away on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. There you go. And the last thing I got, I guess this was announced today, was that Flash is going to be making an appearance on Supergirl on March 28th. Which, we've talked about this before. If it's not a multiverse thing, I don't know how they're going to do it, because that technically means Superman exists in the Arrow and Flash universe.
Yeah, I don't see any way Superman can operate without them knowing about it. Yeah.
It can't, because everybody's so surprised about metahumans, but then Superman would have existed on that world before them.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, you know, if this was the 40s, you could get away with that, but today we got the internet. We got cell phones with cameras, people would know it.
Yeah, exactly. And they just tied everything together too tightly in the CW world, that adding something in like that without, you know, prior knowledge of it wouldn't work.
That's it. Like, I'm torn with it because
I want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It sounds really cool.
I think she belongs there. That part's about cool. You know, I still like Arrow. I love The Flash. I like Legends of Tomorrow.
The second episode was really good.
Yeah. The first one, I think, they just try to do a little too much. Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about the second episode was the fight when they go to, you know, when they buy the nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
The CGI with the Atom, I thought, was really bad. But it's also...
Yeah, that didn't bother me. The fight that bothered me is whenever... Hawkman and Hawkgirl are going up against Vandal Savage, and he, you know, takes out Carter and just stands there and stares at her while he lets her, like, kneel down next to him and kind of, you know, mourn. Like, just kill her. Then you win. Like, what are you waiting for?
Why are you monologuing? What's wrong with you?
He wasn't even monologuing.
No, I know. But that's
standing there.
You know, he went full-on James Bond villain with that. Yeah. It's like, come on.
He's not... I don't like Vandal Savage that much in this... Whether it's the actor or the writing, I don't know, but I don't find him to be very menacing.
Well, it's not even the menacing thing. It's not a well-developed character.
No.
You know, and I thought it was good that they introduced him in, was it Flash? Well, yeah, it was Flash, because they did that.
It was the crossover. But I didn't think it was a great introduction.
Right, and that's just it. I mean, they kind of gave you the very briefest of explanation, and it was more in his relationship with Hawkman and Hawkgirl than who he really is. And I mean, it's a different...
What is their objective in this, though? Like, to catch him? To kill him? And every time?
Well, but that's...
No.
But that's the problem. So...
Kill him, he's dead.
Right, but we know he has ramifications on the timeline going all the way through.
Yeah, that's
so if they went back to the 70s and they killed him, then that means for the last 40 years...
Oh, big changes are going to happen.
Yeah, so it's... That part was kind of screwing with me, like, you know... Is that really smart? Like, you know...
Strip Hunter is, like... He doesn't do anything in the show, so... Except argue when they do something wrong, but it's like, you took a bunch of people, and you just threw them out in time, and expect them... to be able to make everything work right. I mean, he had no plan, really.
No, he didn't. I mean, his whole thing
I think it's
going
to come to that, where they're just expendable. Like, yeah, exactly. He's kind of a jerk, actually.
Yeah, he is.
I've liked it.
The character I liked the best on there has been Captain Cold. But I liked him.
I liked him anyway.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him in Flash, too.
He's so over the top that it works.
Yep.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and, you know, he did Prison Break with the other guy, too.
Yeah.
They have a good chemistry on screen together.
When they first introduced him, I wasn't a fan. I thought, like, his shtick was just, it was too much. But he's fully embraced it, and it really works now.
Yeah, he's one of those people that just took the character and just went with it. Like,
oh, Pat, your knee's coming apart.
No, that was Colin's knee.
Colin's legs are blown apart.
I already knew that.
Did boy had too much brisket. Here's what we are.
Kind of like Stephen Amell. Stephen Amell really embraced that character.
Yeah.
Like, of Green Arrow, that he just loves it outside of the character.
Yeah.
This
I still want to see him show
Captain
up.
Cold, and he had a lot of, like, he was ready to respect it as a good character. Like, It wasn't just going, oh, well, it's just a comic book villain, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He went into it, turned it into something.
They have had a lot of actors that really have embraced their roles.
Especially in these DC shows.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. In those shows,
Merlin, I think, is one that really has. And yeah, I know he's doing the digital-only origin thing for the Dark Archer.
Yeah.
I saw him on something, and I think it was Talking Dead or something. He could not be
more different
than his character.
Like, surprisingly so.
Yeah, like, he did 4 8 balls before he went on camera or something. He was bouncing all over the place, not restrained at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Doctor Who.
Yeah, he was. He's Captain Jack.
Captain Jack, yeah. Harkness. Totally different character.
Yeah, no, he's good. Really. The guy that played Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people had a lot more issues with him, though.
See, I liked him a lot. And I actually think him, when he was, you know, once he was evil and became known, the way he acted is almost kind of like how I'd want to see Vandal Savage. Like that kind
of,
you know.
Yeah, he was more restrained. Like, he already has a plan. He knows what's going to happen.
Has like this weird charisma to him. He is a big threat, but yeah, kind of restrained. And then Damien Dark right now. It's been
I've seen him in that episode.
I like that.
I did too.
It was Dr. Evil.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Adam's like, you're going to recognize somebody, and then he walks across. I'm like, is that Dr. Evil? He was wearing Nehru jacket and stuff. And he's like, no. I'm like, okay.
What did
where's Mini Me?
What did Heatwave call him though? He was like Mr. Aryan Race or something like that.
Captain Aryan or something.
But no, it's good. I liked it. I really like the show.
So.
Very Doctor Who like though, in some ways. I mean, especially a character that was in Doctor Who is
coming to my TARDIS because it changes, it blends in with the area. And
yeah,
actually, has a working chameleon circuit.
It has a wardrobe place that you can change your outfits for time.
At least it's not bigger on the inside.
We don't know that.
It is pretty big ship. I mean, actually the TARDIS is probably a bigger ship than this. Had a swimming pool.
Did it?
Yes, there's a whole episode where they talked about
that. I'm not
the Doctor Who.
No, no, I'm just saying. That it just,
you can watch it on
Netflix.
Oh, no, you can't.
Yeah.
The Doctor Who
on there party
episode. No, that's a big thing.
They pulled all of it off Netflix? What?
Yes.
I was actually talking with Todd Knock. Well, no, that's not true. I responded to a Todd Knock tweet about that. He said, and now Doctor Who is off. And I said, I feel bad for the licensors. People that spend a lot of money for t-shirts and the toys and things like that, because there's not going to be an episode in 2016, and now you can't watch it casually. I'm like, these guys paid a lot of money for nothing.
Yep.
Does Prime have it?
No, it's gone. All streaming.
Really?
Yep.
What about
why?
My guess is BBC wants to control, because it's on BBC America, so my guess is they want to...
It's aggravating because I have Verizon, and you can't get BBC America unless you have the absolute highest package.
That's true.
Did they pull BBC, all BBC America shows?
I don't know. No. But I'm assuming because BBC America owns it.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I figured they'd pull everything if they had like a big plan for their own thing.
Because I think Orphan Black's still on.
It's still on that.
Yeah, no, I don't think BBC America's gone. I think they just want to have control over.
You know what station plays Doctor Who, though? Disney XD.
Yes, it does.
What?
Disney XD plays Doctor Who.
They do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing one day when I went to put on Disney for a Down. I'm looking through them and saw Doctor Who there.
Because I was watching that Star Wars Rebel show, and like after it or before it sometimes was an episode of Doctor Who.
Huh. See? Did not know that.
God, pay attention, man.
I can't be everywhere at once.
Pets news.
Busy playing his toys.
Pets news.
Dave's news is
party
actually
on,
not
excellent.
By anyone.
Dave's asleep.
So I mean,
be
I
nice
get if he doesn't have everything.
Dave drifted.
So
if Pat's news starts getting sponsors or something, then we can send him out on into the field and interviews and
Pat,
stuff.
Pat's
news. Pat's field
news. Pat's news wants a sponsor. He'll send him to Comic-Con.
Sponsored by Firehouse.
Should that
Subs
take you last summer?
Because these guys just keep eating it.
he stayed in a closet, and I like Colin, but not enough to stay in a closet.
Yeah, there was not.
He would have got a bigger closet if you were coming with him.
What's that?
He would have gotten a bigger closet if you were coming with him.
Okay, no. I don't ever want the sentence closet. To come out that I was in a closet with Colin.
I knew that would have been his in his well. Closet.
Come on, Colin.
Agreed.
Anyway, that was Pat's news.
That was it. Well, you missed all the big news.
What do you
I told you I don't.
Rebirth. Well, at least it's all rumor, but about the DC in June, the books that are continuing will have a rebirth issue.
Yeah, so
you know, like Batman Rebirth
after
and then,
52 for the books that are still you know going from the launch.
This is rumor. This is according to Bleeding Cool. So
there'll be the rebirth issue, and then after that, a brand new number one, and no idea if it's a relaunch or reboot or what.
Right.
And it's at, what issue did you say it was?
After number 52.
So issue 53.
Okay. 53 will be Rebirth, essentially. And
so,
then...
to me, it sounds like a soft reboot. It doesn't seem like a hard reboot.
No,
which has been debated online still. It's still being debated, because I've been seeing it back and forth.
Because nobody knows anything. But we'll debate it,
because
that makes
but
sense.
At 50, Superman and Batman has pretty big stories happening. The transition back to Batman and Superman getting his powers back, and then on the cover is him meeting the other pre-Superman.
Yeah, and then at that point, Tomasi takes over all the Superman books
for that,
to do an eight-part event, and the rumor is he's going to be taking on Superman in Rebirth. And then we get... Which I'm surprised now, knowing that... Not knowing, but with the rumors saying that it ends at 52, I'm surprised that Capullo is not just staying on for those two last issues.
Yeah, two issues.
Yeah, he might as well.
Instead of it being Yannick Paquette.
Make it a full thing, yeah.
But whatever.
Who knows? You always have to wonder how much planning was involved or if it was... Because I still think Flashpoint was kind of a, well, geez, we're already doing this. Let's use this to reboot everything. I don't know how planned that was. So I also wonder if that's kind of... They're like, well, geez, all this stuff going on. You know, they're looking at Marvel kind of beating them and dominating them.
Like
God, that's...
Popsicle
that's,
sticks on that or
yeah,
something.
That's something.
Why does Deadpool look more like Bane? His knee's messed up.
Oh,
that's because it's all jacked
he
up.
He has a healing factor. Just wait.
Oh, then it goes...
He's good, walks across the table, and just leaves. Is the Tom King thing a rumor? About him.
It's all rumor.
Yeah, it's rumor.
Everything except for the name.
Yeah,
is
only
rumor.
Because, yeah, DiDio and Lee both.
How would you feel about the Tom King? That's I think that would work fine.
I like Tom King.
Especially with the direction they're going with it being a bi-weekly book.
Yeah.
For Batman. I think he could.
And isn't he? He's one of the writers on Eternal, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, being that they've been able to do that, let's see what he can do with that. I'm just dying to know who the writer is for, or who the artist is going to be on Detective.
With Snyder,
yeah.
if that,
well, I don't think that was rumor, was it?
Snyder has not come out and said
he
it directly.
Has.
I don't
Capullo
think
did.
Capullo did, but Capullo likes to F with people.
Yeah,
too,
that's true.
Think,
he
so.
Does. I didn't think about that, but I hope it's the direction that I think Colin was hoping too. That Sean Murphy would go for that book. That would be great, but I don't know.
How do you really feel, Pat? Pat's making hand gestures.
Whoa.
Making hand gestures at the Deadpool.
And then the force knocked
he
it
just,
over.
He just flipped something towards it, and he fell over.
So no,
he showed Deadpool a bird or two.
Yes.
It was that powerful.
Apparently, Deadpool doesn't like birds.
Yes.
Because Deadpool then face-planted on the table.
He's got a bad knee, man.
If you come to the store and Colin tries to give you a build-your-own Deadpool kit,
tell him
no.
Yeah.
Tell him, please, hawk your wares elsewhere.
I'm thinking that is... Him
I win.
Doing that just had so much force and power to it that Pat just knocked that over. I mean, I think he could if the
it's the power of a Philly
Pat
flip.
Gets,
yep.
Yeah,
yeah,
just knocks stuff over.
Okay,
apparently
moving
robots
on.
And paper dolls.
We had some questions.
Questions.
So Zach from Texas said, "Okay, so Black Knight is the first of the all-new, all-different books to be canned.
It won't be the last.
Which series will be next? I mean, I heard rumors that Angela is going to be stealth-canceled at 7. What will be the next one, or will it sadly be Red Wolf, which is actually good? I don't know.
What about Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur?
I know. Well, that one's good. Okay. I know.
I think it's Angela, because the
yeah.
the Amazon thing where the listing changed...
But I know that the by issue 3 on Starbrand and Nighthawk, or whatever it is, I'm down to Nightmask. I'm down to 2 issues. Guardians of Infinity, I ordered 4. You know, so...
It's because you're a DC store. You just don't know how to push Marvel.
You're right.
He's been pretty balanced lately.
No, one thing I wanted to talk about, I didn't read the whole article, but Axel Alonso was interviewed in either CBR or Newsarama. And one of the things he said, one of the rumors coming out from DC is that they want more meat and potatoes stories.
Stupid.
Which I kind of understand. They want more...
Stupid quote.
Right. But they want more things with some, you know, texture to it. And he responded back saying that they don't do meat and potatoes, that they're creative and all this stuff.
All these stupid events are their meat and potatoes.
Yeah. But like I said to Pat, and he liked this. I said, unfortunately, right now Marvel is all side dishes. They need more meat and potatoes.
Yeah. That was not what he
was
said.
Was that all you?
That was all me. I said appetizers, and he didn't like that because he said appetizers were good. So they're more like, most of their books are like Brussels sprouts right
Everyone
now.
Loves appetizers because appetizers are unique. Side dishes are like Brussels sprouts.
Yeah,
and
yeah exactly.
But
green
I mean,
beans.
You know, they're doing a lot
That's
of
what
neat
I said.
Stuff.
Who eats a whole bowl full of green beans.
Like, I knew this conversation.
You specifically, order appetizers.
Yes.
Like you look at me
Let's
and say,
talk
oh,
about
I
Brussels
that.
Sprouts.
But when they say what side you want, it's like, oh, I have to pick one of these things. All right, I'll take the baked potato. Yeah.
But just even Thor isn't Thor, and Cap isn't Cap, and you know they need more.
But they're kissing.
But they meet more...
Thor and Cap are kissing? Yeah. No, wait, never mind. I'm thinking Thor
and... Yeah, Thor and Cap. Got it on.
What?
Yeah.
But they just... They need more meat and potatoes. They need more solid books that you can then spin off of.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? Like...
What?
You had a character in a book, and
I was just thinking if it was actual Thor, we have a lot of meat and potatoes.
What's with all the food analogies with the comic book companies? Meat potatoes.
But I just found that to be a little funny. Only, yeah, just they need more centered. Yeah. So I have zero problem with DC doing this. Their numbers are pretty crappy. I was looking, what was it, last week?
Yeah,
where I showed you the numbers. Yeah, where Marvel, I was actually dead even with what I did last year, but my DC numbers, I think, were like down by $2,000.
Well, when you say dead even, do you mean dead even dollars?
Dollar wise, but I mean so close it was creepy. I did month to month to that day, and it was within dollars.
So it really isn't good on their part, your part either.
It was a good number, though. It
yeah,
bad
no,
number.
No,
but I mean, okay. It's a...
But DC is down $2,000.
On dollars,
and that's
but what about
me.
Units?
I didn't look.
No, I was mouthing the number.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Like, what? All of a sudden, Adam's looking behind him, and I thought somebody was attacking us, and then I got scared and I went to grab the axe.
We have Deadpool to
I was going to hit Adam with the axe.
We have Pat
to slow him down.
We have
so
Pat
we can get away.
The bird to say,
so we
could
get away,
about?
And Adam would be, oh, and he'd get taken. Okay.
I'm all for it.
You know, it's like when a bear's chasing you, you don't have to outrun the bear, you have to outrun the other guy.
No, yeah, that's why I always hang around with someone that limps.
Yeah.
Just Colin in this case.
Yes, Colin and I are often
you know
in the
what?
Woods
you
being chased by bears.
You kind of set yourself up for it, Colin.
He didn't do anything.
He set up this topic of throwing me to a bear.
That's a podcast.
Anyway, what was the other question, Colin?
Oh, so what book do we think? I mean,
I think
I'm going to say most of them.
Yes.
Most of them?
No, but I mean, like, Guardians of Infinity isn't doing well. Drax is not doing well.
Well,
I mean, there's a lot of them.
CM Punk,
his
name
isn't anything. Yeah, his name isn't what it was.
If I understand, he's not a very good writer.
Well, he's not writing it. He came up with the plot, and Cullen Bunn is writing it.
Like, he thought it would...
Oh, well, that's...
He came out and was like, wouldn't it be cool if Drax did this, and then
right,
just
basically,
it?
Yeah. Okay, wow. So the other question is, this
you
is from James.
Apparently so.
If you're CM Punk, I guess.
With the impending relaunch, reboot, whatever,
Rebirth.
What are the 3 wishes you have for DC afterwards? These aren't predictions, but rather what you would love to see them do. Think creative teams on books, new books, return of characters, teams from the past, continuity changes, etc.
I think that's it, a lot of it. Characters from the past that they haven't really messed with, like we like Metal Man.
I'd like to see Legion idea. Come back.
Yeah.
But
if they do it right. I didn't think they did it
A lot
well
of people have
started,
said that. And, like, this is In the past 2 months, I've heard that in probably 8 or 9 different places.
Yeah.
We need Legion to come back.
When New 52 started that book up, I didn't think they did that.
I couldn't either.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think they introduced it to a new audience. New 52 started.
No, that was bad, because it continued the storyline that was before it, and it made no sense anyway.
That shouldn't have been done at all.
Another one, I'm sorry to veer back. One of the Bleeding Cool things was talking about how a lot of books are going to be ending. Like, Grayson will be ending, Starfire, most of the books will end.
Yeah.
But
turning into something
right,
else.
So Grayson will turn into Nightwing, Starfire and Red Hood and Arsenal
Titans,
will turn into Titans,
Black
Midnighter
Canary to Birds of Prey.
Midnighter will turn into Authority. So, I mean, I'm happy about that. I would love another good Authority book. Get somebody good on it. And I'm not saying you need to get Mark Miller or Warren Ellis, but I'd love to see them get somebody like Cy Spurrier.
They need to get some big names, and they need to get some really, like, quality, fresh talent as well.
Yeah. So the three things I wrote down, I realize I didn't quite match what he was asking, but I want them to just make sure they have strong core titles. If you're going to have Superman, it's got to be solid, not, oh, here's Superman in a T-shirt looking at his view of being an immigrant to the company or the country. I get it, but Superman has to be strong. Wonder Woman needs to be good.
That story's fine if it's told well, if it's well done,
executed.
But that became part of the event thing.
And there was too many status quo.
We don't need a Superman Wonder Woman. We don't need a Batman Superman. Narrow it down.
But that's just it. If you have 4 Superman books, your core Superman book should be Superman stories. You want to try something different? Try that in the Batman Superman, or try that in action, or try, you know, like how if you look at the Batman family, the Batman book is written a certain way, the detective book is written a certain way, and they really have their own place in the universe.
They haven't recently, though.
What are you talking about?
Recently, they've all been following similar storylines, and only Batman has done it well.
But that's right. Batman is done in a way where, like, the detective book is more your detective.
Normally, but it hasn't been lately, though. That's what I'm saying. It's still been following Jim Gordon on his, you know, not street-level crime. That's supposed to, I think, the most...
Okay, yeah.
Next issue's supposed to, but it's still been him fighting super-powered things and not executed terribly well.
Well, I think that's also a bad... Because they introduced Jim Gordon as Batman... And we just got him
executed well. I really enjoyed it in Batman. It just, you know,
I don't think anybody else knew what they were doing.
Tomasi, I don't think can write in that well. I don't think.
No.
I don't think they were. Well, in their defense, I don't think they were ready for that. Like, well, they should have been. Maybe
they're getting a paycheck.
You know,
they should be ready.
They should be ready. But with a writer like Scott Snyder, who had like a plan for this character, you know, and he's very cryptic in his story, and it's kind of a mystery going on. It's hard to say what can this guy do, because you don't want to hurt what Scott Snyder might do with that character later on down the road. You know what I mean? So I can see why it could be a little difficult to do that, but you're right. If you're getting something, you should have be able to work with that. If you're going to implement this plan, then you guys probably should have a meeting beforehand and say, what can he do? What can he do?
Or truly structure the books so that they don't have to overlap in that way, so that they can all live in their own and do their own different things.
Yeah.
Because I like them trying new things. I don't want to see the exact same thing told over and over again.
No.
That's a waste of my money then at that point.
I don't think I had a bigger a problem more with it with Batman as Superman. I think we talked about this before.
I was really intrigued by this story with Superman. Yeah. It wasn't executed well.
Not at all.
And it drug on, and it became a chore to read instead of, you know, a really interesting take on the character.
And they did what I thought they were going to do, where I said DC tends to have this thing with, if a book's not doing very well, let's throw Jeff Johns on it to see what we can do. It brings those people in, and then after that, Jeff Johns leaves, and then these people are just like, oh, this is mediocre.
Well, it's fine if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, and you're confident the writer coming on after Jeff Johns can continue to carry that torch.
Yeah, like Aquaman, I think that.
But you think he did?
Not with Colin Bond.
With Parker, it wasn't bad. But if you're going to bring on Jeff Johns to write the ship and then completely change the direction of the ship after he leaves, then what was the point?
I think it would be better if, like, you bring in a good writer like that, he starts it off, and then you get him to plot the story and write it just to get the idea, then kind of give the
reins. Not even plot, but he could just been there to bring people back on, knowing that, you know, okay, Gene Yang's going to come on and he can tell a good Superman story. Jeff Johns is there to prime it,
okay,
get the audience there,
that,
and then Gene Yang can run with it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to get Jeff Johns there do however many issues his run was, yeah. and then say, now we're suddenly going to change the status quo of Superman drastically with this writer that people aren't that familiar with, yeah. it's not going to have a good reception, nah, especially when you...
Don't you think it was weird that when Geoff Johns was writing Superman, that he made a big deal out of Jimmy Olsen finding out Superman's identity?
Yeah, he did. He did make that as a big
I thought that was
going to
be something they would follow up on, but then it turns out everyone knows.
Well, now everyone knows,
Superman's identity. That was after Geoff Johns left.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how they're going to fix all that.
I don't know.
Rebirth. From yeah, I'm not sure. Like, Nightwing. I don't know how you bring Nightwing back in. You know, unless he's a completely different person. Like,
well, unless he just doesn't care about the fact that people know.
But I mean, he's too close to Batman.
Well, but we also don't know what happens with Rebirth.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think that's... I think Rebirth somewhere along the line is going to...
Well, you know, you got all these new gods. Maybe they split time back, or, you know, they go all Flashpoint or something.
Well, how long is Darkseid War gonna last?
It ends at number 50.
It has to end at this, right?
50 is when it ends, because the current preview says
maybe
the conclusion.
Darkseid War has something to do with...
That's what
with
I'm saying. They're all gods now. You know, maybe that's what happens.
Maybe that is.
Maybe.
And if you're going to do that kind of relaunch, you do it like you had success with Flashpoint and Geoff Johns doing that. If you're going to do something again, you might as well have Geoff Johns be at the helm of...
Maybe Dick Grayson makes a deal with Mephistopheles. And
so I wonder then if we still get that Geoff Johns Aquaman story at some point, if that's going to be part of Rebirth, if that's completely nixed now.
Maybe they'll turn it into Aquaman Earth 1.
I don't know.
Who knows?
It's going to be crazy.
The second thing for me, as just mine, is no Scott Lobdell serviceable writers.
Oh,
I don't want anybody there that can just do the job. I want guys there that want to be there, guys that are really... Like, Doomed probably could have been really good, but I think because Scott Lobdell was on it, kind of people just went, eh.
Do you feel like DC has to do a lot of work to get writers that want to be there, though? Like, good writers?
They might, but I think, you know, there's a lot of people in there. I think it would be pretty easy to get some of the indie guys if you said, hey, would you know, pitch me a Superman story.
Yeah, I feel like
I think back to
seen...
when Jeff Lemire was doing Superboy.
Yeah, and then he left.
And, right, I know.
Like, we've seen a lot of good writers come to DC and then jump ship.
I think if they do it well enough that they can, like, look at Snyder on Batman. I'm sure he got offers from Marvel to jump over and do stuff, but nothing was good enough. So if they give him a good book...
I think DC locked up Snyder right away
and
essentially gave Snyder the keys to the kingdom.
But, like, Lemire went over to Marvel, where he had a pretty good thing, it seemed, at DC with Animal Man, and he was doing a nice job on Green Arrow and stuff. And is he really... I don't know if he's done anything super memorable at Marvel.
But...
So give
with
them...
With DC, he only had two really strong books, because Justice League Dark...
It
got killed by that Forever Evil crossover.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had United, which had that Legion story, which wasn't very interesting.
What I'm hoping they'll do is say, okay, here's your book. You know, you have to get approval and everything, but we want you to write your book. We're not going to cross over. We're not going to... Because I remember early on in New 52, now it was Liefeld and stuff having problems, but... There was Hawkman and Deathstroke and one other book that he was trying to coordinate, and he kept getting different things from editors saying, oh, you can't do that because we're using that here, and there was a lot of problem. Let the guys write their books. Let them, you know, give them a lot of freedom, not necessarily to be side dishes. You know, don't go crazy freedom that way, but...
Batman's a woman now?
Right, but I mean, how would you feel if, oh, you can write Thor. Oh, great. Oh, by the way, it's a woman. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know, let these guys tell the stories they want to do, and I think you know, not necessarily the top creators, but even up and coming creators.
That was a little messed up, though.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, let them come in and tell.
They don't need to be as strong. They don't need to have an iron fist on them at all times.
Yeah.
But they need to be there to say no, we can't necessarily do that. But don't limit them.
I just remember hearing, especially with the beginning of New 52, there was a lot of editorial.
Well, the biggest one was Batwoman.
Yeah.
That Batwoman thing was the dumbest
stupid
editorial decision they made.
That's my biggest hope for this rebirth, is that DC learns from all their missteps they've had over the past.
But they'd almost have to. You know, if they don't, they need to clean house.
I feel
you know?
They don't, though. I feel like that DC looks at it as, well, we're just going to do another relaunch and start with brand new storylines, and it'll work. I don't feel like they learn from their mistakes. And I really hope they do.
But you're right about the Scott Lobdell thing. So like,
I mean, nothing against him personally, but I just think he just doesn't have... Well, but he doesn't have a voice. I'll fill in on this, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and do that. Well, that's great, but do you have an epic story, a Superman story that you've been dying to tell? And that's the other thing with DC.
Take Colin Bunn, though, who's on every damn book anyway.
Right,
he can't.
But I'd love to see... so much, I'm thinking a lot of the big books, like, with characters are separate, like, not part of storylines, but I'd love to see just someone write, you know, a 12-issue Superman storyline that goes through Superman 1 through 12, but then the next one starts, it doesn't necessarily have to carry over, so that it's something that I have as a graphic novel to sell. I don't need to worry. I mean, I like having 7 volumes of Batman, but I also love having Long Halloween. I love having Hush, which was just in issues. I'd love to see more of that, just a really good story. Don't worry about writing a 2-year story. Give me, you know, 6 issues, 8 issues, whatever it is. I'd love to see more of that storytelling as opposed to continuity keeping the trains running.
It is funny, though, how I think it was last week we were talking about how sometimes we want the shorter 1-issue story.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I think a done-in-one story is great because think of that Bizarro story in action. I could hand that to somebody. You want a good Superman story? Here. You don't have to worry about going back 4 issues. And gosh, I'm sold out of the second one, and I'm waiting for a second print.
Get people jumping on.
You know, a solid 1-issue story is fantastic. And even just a break between arcs.
Well, I don't like when you have one big arc that goes right into
another. Or an event going into event, which...
I think a lot of bringing in the people like Scott Lobdell and what's his name? Who can't draw feet. bringing them in, you could see from that first wave how many of those books just crashed and burned right at the beginning. And I think Teen Titans really crashed and burned. It's slowly crashed and burned, but that was a Scott Lobdell. And it didn't fit the story-wise. I was just talking about this the other day. The storyline did not fit with the rest of the universe. It was just like,
I read that the first 3 issues and I couldn't make heads or tails
because
of what was going on.
In Teen Titans in the beginning, they were like wanted by the government and the government didn't want them doing what they were doing. It was just like, okay, what does the Justice League feel about that? It didn't connect. So I think it lost a lot of people. And then you had like Deathstroke, lost a lot of people in that. And so, none of those people need to be
in little things. Like, I think Dark Side War has shown you can do an event in one book.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to cross over. So that was the last thing I had. I just wrote down Vision. I just want there to be
a Vision
book? Company Vision. We're saying, okay, Batman is going to do this, this, and this, and have that planned out and let Batman family work that. Let Superman do this. Let Justice League do that. But let it go. It doesn't need to be micromanaged and nitpicked. And don't do the event. We don't need another convergence where all of a sudden everything has to wrap up at a set time. Maybe it's not ready to.
Self-contained events work.
Yeah.
Where all these crossover events don't work.
That's my fear with Civil War.
But it doesn't have that much harm.
They get too tempted.
If it fails, though, it doesn't affect a bunch of other books.
Spectacular.
Yeah, but they get too tempted thinking this is a way to get people to read these other books. And then maybe they'll stay on them after the event's over.
Oh, you mean, okay, I can see you on that, yeah.
Why they do them, not just,
that's what I'm saying. I think they get too tempted to restrain themselves.
I think the Green Lantern ones work better because, if you're reading Green Lantern, at least you're getting into that. It's just the main Green Lantern storyline. It's not a big, it's going to cross over. I think Forever Evil, like you said, with having it tie in for Justice League Dark for absolutely no reason hurt Justice League Dark.
Yeah.
You know, having it so big, I think, is a problem.
It seems like a cluster to me.
But I think, Josh, I think you're right, though, where you're saying that they need to learn from their mistakes from New 52. Learn from your mistakes from New 52.
I'm hoping they will, because I think most of the same people are there, at least the heads. And I'm sure they have notes on what worked and what didn't work.
I don't think that
they
know.
They tried that with DCU and it didn't work.
No, I think what they did, it's poorly executed. But what happened there is they found the Batgirl was a big hit. And not just a hit, but it got them a lot of good publicity. So they tried to go that way. And it went too far. Too many side dishes. You know.
I don't feel like it went too far. I feel like if they didn't have that 2-month...
Yeah.
crap fest in between.
Well, and better promoted, better publicized.
Yeah. I think it would have done much better. Yeah. But yeah. People had such a bad taste in their mouth over conversions that they weren't willing to try new things.
And I think the biggest thing that we've talked about is marketing. Like marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to market.
They need to get it out there. Well, let people know that you're going to have now, this big I'm available. Story.
Now that they have, you know, said rebirth of the curtains and there's all these rumors flying, get ahead of it. Come out and start promoting it now.
You're right.
And promote
here's what
it,
we're doing.
Promote it for the next.
Why aren't they putting more out there? Yeah. Put out a picture. Remember when Marvel was doing all new now, especially with Secret Avengers, and we were getting silhouettes?
Yeah.
And you were trying to figure out who it was, and there was talk, there was buzz. They got to be doing that because the Comics Pro meeting's in 2 weeks, and they have to tell us what's going on there.
Yeah.
That's their opportunity to tell us face to face.
You think they're waiting for that to tell
you
guys
first? I don't
know
if they're waiting. My guess is they're going to do it next week because they always like to spoil stuff so that when we get there, we go, yeah, we already know. You're sitting there bored.
That silhouette thing drew so much buzz to those books. And even though like the Heroic Age didn't do as well as it should have.
Yeah.
You know, people that I knew that weren't, like, real comic book fans were seeing it, though, at sometimes and saying, well, who's this guy? Who do you think that is? Well, that kind of looks like the Thing, but it could be, you know, the Hulk, you know? Talk. People are talking about it.
One of the things, though, I think they need to avoid, it goes back to the Vision thing. You need to understand who your characters are. Some characters are not main characters. They're side characters. And that's, don't give them a book. I like Cyborg. Cyborg can't carry his own book.
No.
He just can't.
I mean, sometimes there's
that's not fair for you to say, because before the book came out, you and I both were on board with that book.
I agree. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it was a poorly executed version of it.
Yeah, because I...
Sometimes it might be better if they had a mini-series, like a six-issue mini, that if you're wanting to tell a story.
They've made him an A-list character that is part of their Justice League. He could have had a book that
but
worked.
But he translated
that,
poorly to his own book.
That could just be that writer or that story.
Well, no, and you know what? And that's true, too. It can be the writer, although, you know, I've read other of David Walker's stuff, and I've liked it. So it's...
Yeah, he might do well with one thing, but not well with
I understand.
But I would read a Cyborg Shazam, like, buddy book.
That would be awful. Like that would be like a quantum
like, where you have the more, like, you know, stoic Cyborg and the more goofy, you know...
Yeah, they'd be like,
you know, maybe that's something they need. Something like Adventure Comics. Or where you can have. Because they tried to do it with. What was it? DC like Presents, DC where they did like a 4 or 6 issue story that were separate. That one, it started with Dead Man and then went into a Vandal Savage story. So I just think that one wasn't particularly well done. But maybe it wouldn't be bad to have, that type. Well, not so much anthology, but rotating cast. And that could, something that could work, bi-weekly where you have, you know, a 4-issue that, and then, or in a backup of something else. It didn't even, you know, a 12-pager and an 8-pager.
Yeah.
I think it wouldn't be huge, but I think it would be a way to get some of these characters out there without needing their own book, because they, you know, clearly, you know, did Lobo need his own book? No, but maybe a Lobo backup in a Metal Men in Adventure Comics Presents or
they
something like
Teen
that.
Titan Spotlight book like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah,
you know,
same thing.
Well, there was that Doom Patrol book, and then it had I remember it was the Kevin Maguire Metal Men story in the backup.
Yeah.
And I think it was a dollar more for the because it was $3.99, but because it had the backup. You know, it was one of those things that worked. Now, it didn't do great because the Doom Patrol story wasn't that great.
You know, earlier on when we started the podcast, because New 52 just came out, we were talking a lot about the backup stories and how much we did actually like them, because we were getting Shazam, Batman had a lot of good backups in it, stuff like that. If they can, I mean, if you have something fun to tell that you're wanting to introduce these characters into the world, like Metal Men or these older characters that we could start putting out there, I don't think they've really pushed a lot of characters out there. DC has a lot of characters. I don't think they did a lot of them with New 52.
There's characters still that people have been clamoring for that they don't have their own book. Like, people have still been asking for
a Booster Gold book.
Yeah,
and you just don't...
You had that great Shazam backup.
Yeah.
And then no book to follow up
from that. Mm-hmm. And you gave them that, but then they kind of went back to their old ways. They were just like, let's just fill the world with Batman, we're good. Okay, yeah, I guess, for a little bit, but then people you're still wanting to sell more Superman, and you're wanting to sell more Wonder Woman, and you're wanting to sell more of this, and...
Yeah.
put Batman in the book. Yeah. It'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. And that just doesn't do it. And then they started crossing over characters like Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman. It was just like, you know, you didn't necessarily need those books exactly, but you needed to bring out characters that were interesting people. And the beginning of the New 52 had a lot of just a lot of selection in characters.
It did. Yeah, you know, there were a lot of...
There was a lot that if you know, you had...
So did DCU, though. I mean, they
you had your horror characters. You had iVampire was kind of interesting when it started up.
It was good. Yeah. I read all three volumes of it. It was really good.
I really enjoyed those characters, and then that character kind of fizzled out. But, you know, you had Swamp Thing, you had Animal Man. Those were your, you know, dark characters. You had some lighter characters. You had a lot of selection. And I think that's what they need to stick with, and they didn't stick with it.
Well,
and then they stopped. I think that we lost that when the wave stopped. Because everybody, the idea of people coming and be like, oh, what's the next wave coming out? I think that generated a lot of talk in New 52, well, and it kind of fizzled out.
They don't commit to something.
Yeah, that's what they do.
They give up on it and try something else. And just like with the, and this is another reason why I'm nervous about this relaunch, and they didn't learn lessons, is the whole thing about double shipping. Like, that's gonna save them? That's going to make a huge difference?
I
think it'll make a difference as far as... I wonder how much of it is the corporate unit numbers and dollar numbers and sales chart numbers.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying now all of a sudden you have to remember pre-movies, companies weren't looking at it. But now Warner Brothers, they just moved in the offices with Warner Brothers, so they have to produce. So if they, by shipping Batman twice a month, even if sales drop because people give up on it, and it's, let's say even if it drops 25%, that's still outselling... combined Midnighter and Lobo and Prez and Martian Manhunter. No, but I'm just saying it allows them to have those lesser selling books because that one is selling so much. I think that's where I think they're reasoning for doing it.
You're hitting a smaller audience then.
Right. Like you're... But maybe that allows them to pay and allows them to have those smaller books
but
to
hit
the bigger audience.
But it also means as people drop off, it has a huger, bigger impact for you. Because now one person leaving is suddenly coming to two people leaving.
Yeah, could be. But I think that mentally, they're you know, when you have to get your numbers up, what's the easiest way to do it? You know, even a Batman family book is going to far outsell.
I just feel like it's a Marvel does it, and Marvel
I think the problem they have is the Warner Brothers people are saying that. Why don't you just do what Marvel's doing? Well, no, but. You can't just keep saying no. You have to back it up. You say, well, you tried this. It didn't work. Why don't you do what Marvel's doing? No. Why? Because. You know, it's like arguing with your teenager. So
that's what they say about him.
Yeah. No, but that's where I think that is coming from. The reason for the double shipping is just, you know, for that. So, I just hope the Batman numbers stay where they are and don't drop down to, like, where Batman and Robin Eternal numbers are. But who knows? I don't know. That's all I got. What do you guys got for your three things? Or have we kind of covered it?
I don't think we did that question properly to what his instructions were.
Right.
But we
thoroughly discussed
that.
I feel like James got his money's worth.
Yeah.
The three things I got, the first one is stay the hell away from the DCU or the DC Cinematic Universe and TV Universe.
Yeah, I hate that.
Don't
news,
pull a Marvel.
That rumor.
Get away from it.
But the rumor is they're going towards it.
Yeah, but that's... Stay away from it. The second one...
Well, you know what I would also love to see? I'd love to see them have a little comic book store thing at the end of each of those shows. Yeah. And why they don't is a... I don't want to say a slap in our face, but... See more adventures of the Flash.
And that's just it. I don't...
Be a card
at bookstores near you. Yeah.
After every show.
And why there isn't, I don't understand.
No, it is now.
More stories about Green Arrow.
Why not? Because we promote. How much do we talk about the shows? How much do we talk just in the store about the shows?
And the books promote the shows. Why can't the shows promote the books?
They don't put the comic shop locator service into anything. They could have done that. Say, you know, go to the
comic shop
locator service and find your local store.
Yeah,
just like they did in comics. You know. It's because there's bad communication between like the TV people and the.
And I'm hoping I was hoping that would change with them getting out there.
And it shouldn't because all those are dollars.
Yeah, well, and
I'm seeing an email to Stuart Quinn.
Any synergy at all?
Yeah, exactly.
The next thing I got was something that they did with DCU that I really liked is keep it so continuity doesn't matter. If I want to tell a good Batman story, let me tell a good Batman story.
But Batman Europa, I thought was a great story.
Yeah.
Doesn't fit in anywhere into timeline.
How do you think in the end that worked for JLA, though?
It's doing well.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, I've liked the JLA story. The only disappointing thing I've had with JLA to this point.
Yeah.
Well, two things. One, the Martian Manhunter story that didn't fit. And then without the recap page, because it was a 2-month break, I totally forgot on what happened. But that was more, you know, I could have went back and looked at the old issue.
But in the end, like, while reading it, you didn't say, well, this doesn't, the Dark Side War should be happening. You weren't focused on a timeline at all.
No, and I think they need to keep that in order to.
I asked that because it goes back to a previous argument, like, a while back on this podcast with Marvel with time and comic books. There was like talk about that.
Well, no,
Marvel where a timeline had to matter in comics because, and now, you know, comic time is just
yes and no. If you're saying the timeline matters, then make the timeline matter. If you're just saying, hey, the timeline doesn't matter, just tell the story you want to tell. Like, I don't care. I don't care what Batman did on Sunday.
If you need to go into reviews.
You're right. I don't think it makes a difference if you have to do it. It doesn't make any difference if you just do it as a JLA story like they did.
Standing for 8 hours and sitting.
He needs his Professor X chair.
No, I couldn't get up.
He was cackling in the madness because of the pain.
And then the last thing is kind of like a book that I want to see, and we've talked about this before, is like a Tales of the Green Lantern, or Tales of the Lantern type anthology, because I know we're not going to get a Red Lantern book again. The Larfleeze book, well, it didn't suck, but it kind of did. So get those characters in there. Yeah, I mean, have, you know, a 2-issue Red Lantern story, and then maybe, you know, something with St. Walker, and then, you know, do stuff like that.
I'd like to see that.
I just think that would be, you know, a cool book. The only issue is Geoff Johns was really good at writing those, and, I mean, he created most of those cores anyway. But let other people tell the stories. Don't rely on Geoff Johns.
Yeah, exactly. Here's one that I'd like to see. I just thought of this. I'd like them to see more with their multiverse. I think they've lacked. I think only two people within DC have actually put focus onto the multiverse. One is Grant Morrison. The other one is Geoff Johns. And if you want to bring out, I mean, you can bring out a Zoo Crew book or something. You know, bring out something from you know, they did it with Convergence. But they did it, like, little with Convergence. If you want to tell, you know, I think people would go into the multiverse and buy stuff with it. Yeah. I think they should do that more. So that would be a cool thing to see.
They're supposed to bring back at least Bleeding Cool says, bring back the Justice Society.
Yeah. Now, see, that I'm a little curious with.
I don't know how that's
I don't know how that's going to be because I really like Earth 2, the Earth 2 book. And I don't know if they'll continue with that or it'll be a different Earth completely. It should because of multiverse.
The rumor is saying that, Convergence, you know, it's going to bring them back and say that they've been there. You know, they did exist back in the 40s. And it's going to play somehow like within the Titans Hunt thing where they're having memories of, you know, things existing that didn't.
I think
Flash saw stuff in Flashpoint that were different parts of the multiverse.
Yeah, yeah.
Does anybody else have anything for this question? I just wanted to bring something up because we didn't talk about it in the news, and I just remembered it. The DC is going to be doing those Hanna-Barbera books. One of them is Flintstones. You didn't see this?
No, but didn't we talk about it?
No, we didn't get to talk about it.
Or did we talk about it before the podcast?
Yeah, we started the podcast, and I completely forgot.
I must have flaked on that because I totally didn't.
Yeah, Jim Lee was a big announcement.
Yeah,
because he's gonna be doing the Scooby Doo,
and it's an apocalypse, like it's Scooby Doo Apocalypse. I think they called it. or something like that.
Like, wait, Apocalypse, like Dark Side Apocalypse? No,
they're
like,
they're gonna be on
there. Like, that would be awesome.
No, supposedly, like, they're in, like, the middle of an apocalypse on Earth or something like that. And
I want to see modernizing, a Hong Kong
Philly book. I don't like some of the art in these.
I kind of do.
Do you like Hipster Shaggy?
I liked steampunk-looking Fred.
Yeah. Steampunk Fred.
It's Scooby-Doo had, like, a cyborg eye or something like that. He had something over his eye. And yeah, it's going to be a little different.
Yeah, show me this, because I...
The one book was, it seemed like a big, like, crossover storyline that they've been talking about called Future Quest.
Future Quest.
Which seems to rely on Johnny Quest.
Was it Johnny Quest?
Johnny Quest, and I think all of the Hanna-Barbera superheroes.
Yeah.
Haji was in there.
Raze Bannon.
Awesome. Gloop are in the poster. But the thing about it, even past,
Herculoids, the Impossibles, Birdman, Frankenstein Jr., all those.
And the poster was awesome. I told him I said I want dibs on this poster. Space Ghost,
of course, yeah.
With Brack and Zorak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Space Ghost was in the poster. But I told Colin, I said, once I saw this poster, I said, if they give you a promo poster of this, I want dibs on it, like, immediately. Ugh. It's Darwin Cook art. On all these characters. Is that the same one?
She looks like Robin. Nah. Velma looks like Robin. He looks like Fandral.
Yeah, he does.
But I think... And then they have Flintstones.
Flintstones, and the other one is Wacky Races.
Wacky Races.
Okay.
So I think it's interesting. I'd like to see what they're going to do.
Me too.
Flintstones art, I hope it's just the cover art, because they're way too realistic looking. I was kind of even hoping
Amanda Connor art.
Yeah, because they look like... Huh?
I think it's Amanda Connor art.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's kind of, I mean, you know, because she does Harley Quinn. That's a weird style for
at least the drawing for the Flintstones. I saw was hers.
But when I saw that Darwin Cook Future Quest flyer,
nice.
I was just like, that looks awesome.
It does.
So what do you think? Is this DC's answer to Star Wars?
Yeah. Johnny Quest and all,
Space Ghost.
I think it has potential. I don't know. It's not going to hit. It'll never hit, like, Star Wars.
I would just want them to have
there
the personalities.
There are so many people out there.
That's
a huge line of characters.
Yeah.
They have
access to
that they're not doing anything with.
Nothing at all.
Thankfully, they're going to do something with them and see what happens.
If that works, we'll get a Hong Kong Fooey book.
Oh. That's what I really want.
All those characters, you know.
Maybe a nice quick draw with El Caban.
We'll get all of these books.
Wow. Yeah, that's really too...
A little too real.
Yeah, I was clamoring for a quick draw McGraw book.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, with El Caban.
You don't want El Caban?
I kind of like the Amanda Connor Flintstones.
Hey, let's see. I mean, as Dave just said... Actually, yeah, it kind of does grow on you a little bit.
Yeah.
As Dave said, though, if they have access to these characters, use them and see what you can do with them. Don't just, like, sit on them. See what they do. And I think that's a lot of what you're saying, too, what you guys are saying, too, about what you're wanting to see.
Wacky Raceland.
That's one of the first comic books I bought when I was a kid was the Laugh Olympics book. But Marvel had the Hanna-Barbera characters, and you got all your Hanna-Barbera characters in one book.
Yeah,
I wore out that first issue of that book when I was like 10 years old.
And then really, they need to do more with their kids' books, because they only have, what, Scooby-Doo and the Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Exactly.
So if they can bring out some of those kids' books anymore, get those characters out there if you have them.
Exactly.
Warner Brothers has had those characters since they've owned Cartoon Network. They've owned Hanna-Barbera. So, I mean, I think that's when it really started, and then that's why Cartoon Network started, because... They owned that. They needed to do something with it. This has been a long time wait for these characters to be used again.
It's been a long time coming,
I thought that was kind of cool. Cool news. We'll see what will
happen. Yeah, I had not heard that, but...
Yeah.
You're going to be replaced on news.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, Adam's news.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah. Dave's news.
He puts a lot more research into this. I just had that one thing. So, who wants to start on reviews?
Well, didn't we have one other question from last week that we held off?
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a pot. Oh, sorry.
What did you start?
Yeah, Dave.
Okay.
Derpy derp derp derp.
Can I have root beer, Pat?
Yeah. I have a Diet Dr. Pepper. Or no. Yeah.
Diet Dr. Pepper?
Yes, please.
This is the moment when the audience can also go get a drink.
Yes.
When the podcasters enjoy a lovely beverage, you at home can also enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by.
I fill in the blank because nobody's sponsored. Or Pat's News. He needs a sponsor, too.
Yeah, I do need a sponsor.
So we could send him out in the field.
All right, last week's books. First one is talk about it. Southern Bastards, number 13.
Yeah, Southern Bastards was
this is the issue we've been waiting for. It's the big homecoming.
Winnetka County.
It's the big homecoming game, the Running Rebs against Wetumpka.
Yeah, and they got their asses handed to them.
The Running Rebs did. Yes.
Yeah. The running back was built like a tank.
Built like a tank. He's like 700 pounds.
they kept joking about that. He was a big kid.
And he scores, he scores a lot, I guess, but he scores a last-second touchdown.
Well, that was at halftime. And then the new defensive coordinator said, oh, well, we'll just have somebody take his knees out. And then Coach Boss fired him and made the other guy the DC, Materhead.
Right.
Made him the defensive coordinator.
Right.
And then after the game, Boss went out and beat the hell out of the kid.
Coach Boss just needs revenge. He's walking around with a whiskey bottle in his hand and goes after the,
The kid that was a running back.
Yeah, a running back. Yeah, and the game just doesn't humble him at all.
Yeah.
He just hunkers down and we also get some scenes. Coach Boss is at Big's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to the mayor whose wife does the talking.
Yeah, he's whispering something but you can't read what he's saying. But you can tell that what he's saying is not what she's saying.
Yeah, so then we get what we're waiting to see. It looks like Earl Tubbs's daughter's
going to be here in the next.
Going to be in the next issue.
Did you notice though when they had the shots of the stands, like the guy in the swamp was there?
Oh, I'll have to take a closer look.
Yeah, the sheriff was there in the stands, and they were all like. The three people they kind of had like one shots on. The girl from the bank.
Okay.
You know, so they showed them as, you know, they were at the game, but, you know, kind of rooting against Boss.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like everything's going to hit the fan pretty soon as far as Coach Boss is concerned.
Yeah.
But it was very satisfying. I like that issue a lot. How about Bloodshot?
I read Bloodshot. I love Bloodshot. The start of the Analog Man arc taking place 30 years in the future. What?
I started reading it, sorry.
It was too long, couldn't finish it?
No, I just got to the part where the kids ran away from the guy who came out of the house.
Yeah, you got two pages in?
He opened the book, you said, nah. There was words and stuff.
It's like, I don't want to talk about it.
I'll be quiet.
Way to sell the book, Colin.
Just letting you know that I tried.
So it's 30 years into
do
the future.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Los Angeles is a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Wait, it looks like Los Angeles itself is still there. Los Angeles almost looks like Mega City 1.
Okay.
It's all walled up and everything
it's
else.
It's all walled,
yeah,
right.
Is this wasteland straight out of Mad Max.
Well, actually, it sounds more like out of Judge Dredd, but...
Well, no, I'm saying, yeah, you have... Judge Dredd, everything outside the city seems like you're just going to die once you're outside the city. Whereas Mad Max, like, you have these, you know, pockets
okay,
of...
yeah, yeah.
And so that's what... We have the walled city, but the, you know, the deserts or wastelands, you still have, like, these pockets of, you know, civilization or these villages where it's kind of backwards, but they're not... It's not a death sentence being out there.
So Bloodshot is... Protector of this tiny town.
Yeah, their settlement. He is the...
At the settlement.
You know,
him and Magic are still together.
Yeah. And he looks like this, you know, like
old man with a big beard and kind of, you know, like a beer gut and, yeah, and scrawny limbs. But because of the nanites, he can change his appearance.
But I guess his technology is obsolete now because there's this new Gutek.
Yeah, the Gutek. So it's the evolution of the nanites.
Okay.
And I think that ties into, like, with Rai, where we find out that in Rai, we found out that Father, who is the ruler of New Japan, is actually this AI, and it is this, like, liquid nanites. So I think that's, you know, that's okay, leading into the same thing there. It's, we've seen this technology in different stages through various books.
Since 7000.
Mm-hmm. So they're this Gutek, these nanites, it's the evolution of what's inside him, but he still has the old school nanites.
I wanted to ask you about the Shadow Men too, what their deal is.
I don't know what their deal is. The okay. book made it out to sound like they just, you know, worship, you know, Shadow Man. But
okay.
he pointed out that, you know, Shadow Man was a good man, and they tarnish his image, but they wear his logo, and they, you know.
Okay, so I know it was,
yeah, right there.
Saw Shadow Man, but these Shadow Men, they haven't showed up anywhere
before. No, no,
okay,
no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I like the issue a lot. Like, my goodness, there's a
lot. It was really good. So the plot of this first issue, he has to periodically go out on these water runs, right. And we found out that the city or the government rations out water. I think it was 15 gallons per
Morton Joe.
15 gallons per person. I forget how, you know, what, how often they ration out, but it's not enough for them to survive and have crops and everything. So he has this, you know, truck stashed away. It was one of the first, you know, electric engine rigs. Mm-hmm. And he uses it to go on these runs to try and fill it and bring water back to the settlement so that they can survive. And he does it by, he found a spot outside the city where he can steal the water. So he goes and he's setting up that one day, you know, he's not going to make it back. So he tries to prepare them for whenever he can't make it back. And he goes on this run and fills up on his way back. That's when he gets attacked by these Shadow Men. And that's where it feels very much like, you know, Mad Max, especially the most, yeah, most recent one. And he didn't realize that they were utilizing the Gutek, and the one, you know, kind of forms a gun on his arm and takes out the rig. And it's not looking very good for Bloodshot, but then someone shows up, an old friend that kind of, you know, saves his ass.
Okay.
Which, that's it, Ninjak, you know, Grizzled Ninjak shows up.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. It's a really, really cool direction for the character. The action was phenomenal. It was yeah, very stunning.
Art was great. Action was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Realize. Okay.
It's great. Really enjoyed it.
I'm trying to
New show.
Play your game.
Oh wow. Oh.
Man. Daredevil number 3.
I didn't get to it. It's starting to get to be the last of my list.
Yeah. It wasn't. I don't know. It's not really doing it for me.
We didn't sell it. Did we just there?
Sorry. But
no, it's not our fault.
Charles
Soule,
you were so good when you were at DC. What happened?
Yeah.
It's just a guy named Ten Fingers just does not interest.
Well, yeah, most of the issue is a fight because
being that he has 20 fingers, it makes more sense.
He has 20 fingers.
Yeah, most of the
can, man.
Most of the issue is a fight. Ten fingers has stolen his powers.
I know you were calling him man, but that worked as a super villain name.
Ten Fingers stole his powers from the hand, so Daredevil is...
Well, obviously Ten Fingers steals powers from the hand. Didn't see that coming?
From the ninjas. From ninja? The ninja hand.
What? I'm confused.
And Daredevil and Blindspot are caught in the battle, and then in the last issue, you know, they got to the... the witness, you know, they were holding in isolation, so because of that, Matt is assigned to night court.
Bum,
as punishment. So we can only
bum, bum, bum.
Have they explained yet how he can practice law?
Doesn't matter. Well, Fielding is the character. Fielding's the character they're following.
I love that show.
Yeah, I've been watching it. There's reruns on this channel called Laugh TV.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I found it. I was like, yes.
So hopefully he meets Bull and
well,
Dan.
Not Selma, because she died.
Well, yeah, they... That was the...
Spoiler alert.
They had a new bailiff, like, every year on that show.
They had three bailiffs.
It was pretty well I would agree. Year. It seems like it was every year they had a new flow.
But there's just not...
The way this podcast leads, it's fun.
Well, it's probably more entertaining talking about Night Court than this issue of Daredevil.
Oh...
Way to sell the book,
Dave. That wasn't really an insult. I'm not selling it's
Dave's not trying to sell the book.
I'm not trying to.
He's trying to sell the show Night Court again.
This has turned into a cautionary tale.
I just expect more. I don't know what, but I expect more. Charles Soule, he's an attorney.
No, Pat.
Oh no.
Broke his arm.
But I fixed his leg.
He's going to flip you the bird with the force. Knock you out of your seat.
They just don't build them like they used to. Like they used
don't build paper models like they used
only
to.
Only had nanites.
He will go back together himself.
That's true.
Yeah.
Dave's just giving
I agree, Dave. I mean, that it's just not...
I don't know. It's just a come down
issue
from
issue two,
the,
I was just like, this wasn't very much different than issue one.
Yeah.
And then issue three, by that, it's in my, like, basket waiting to read, and I was just like...
I agree.
Okay. I'd rather read, you know... Batman and Robin Eternal or something like that over Daredevil.
So. Yeah, I don't know. Ten fingers. That's all you got in that.
You can't even read comic books with 10 fingers.
How many toes does he have?
Doesn't matter. He's not 20 toes. I mean, that would be a weird super villain name. I mean,
10 toes
is that where is that where you go? I mean,
20 toes.
My name's Toesies.
Toesies. He has an evil plan somewhere.
20 piggies.
How will Daredevil get out of this one?
This little piggy.
This little piggy.
I'm about to huff and puff.
You're jumping stories of piggies. Still better than Daredevil.
Okay, anything you like, Dave?
Last one I'll mention, it's from 2 weeks ago, but Super Zero, number 2.
I keep having to reorder
that. I like that. I like the first issue. The second issue was good. This is the girl who, high school girl, Drusilla, who wants to, trying to figure out how to become a superhero. In the first issue, she, you know, tried to get her parents mugged so she could have an origin story like Batman.
Dumbass.
But she got paid this hobo to do it, but the hobo didn't do it.
Can't trust a hobo.
And well, you could because he warned the parents this was going on with their daughter. And
then you can't trust. In this issue,
in this issue, they let him stay for the night and they give him a tent in the backyard.
And he kills him, right?
Well, no. not yet. But in this issue, Drusilla decides. She wants to get bitten by a spider to get powers. So she sends her friend out.
It sounds so familiar.
At the end of the story, she dies, right? Because...
Well, instead of getting...
Next, she gets radiated, become the Hulk, and
instead of getting spiders, her friend gets a box full of ants. And the ants crawl over and give her bites everywhere, and she goes into the hospital. And she doesn't get superpowers.
She gets super antibiotics.
She gets super. Yeah, she needs super antibiotics for all
stuff
those.
Like that. Yeah.
But at the end, the hobo who's living in the backyard has her come to the tent and shows he has all these weapons and he's going to teach her how to be a superhero.
She's just doing. This person's not going to survive. She goes and does all these superpower things. That gets powers. But then she just randomly walks into this hobo's tent.
Yeah. Yeah. He's living in their backyard.
No! This is just not good.
Yeah, this is written by Amanda
Connor. You can learn a lot more from Squirrel
Jimmy,
Girl.
Jimmy Palmiotti. I'm enjoying it. It's a funny book. And that's all I have. Who wants to go next? Josh or Pat? We're having
rock, paper, scissors.
I didn't realize you guys did that.
All right, so Aquaman 48. Anyone still reading this? No. Can't blame me. All right. So I have exciting news. This was Colin Bunn's last issue of Aquaman.
Yay.
Yeah. So this wrapped up everything. So Aquaman is in Atlantis, and everyone comes after him, and he's like, "No." It wasn't really Mira. It was a clone. They're like, no, if it wasn't a clone. And then conveniently at that moment, there's an explosion and two Miras show up. And they're like, oh, what? There's two of them.
Which is the real Mira. They get all mixed up, jumbled.
So
they both get hit on the head. They get amnesia. They don't know which is which.
So she quickly throws a water blast.
Aquaman trying to date them both at the same time. They go to the restaurant.
And then they all
Aquaman
move.
Yells, twins!
They all move in together. And then Mr. Furley, he gets all upset about this.
And Jack has to pretend to be gay.
Yeah.
Except for now we're dealing with Aquaman, and I'm just thinking he's going to go turn a chloral.
How does this, what we were just talking about, get you onto a side note? I'm interested now.
My mother-in-law is very conservative and all.
Like, she's like, Mr. Furley?
She said that when she was growing up, there were no gay people.
Oh, ever.
This is all a recent, very recent thing. But I'm going, back in the 70s, it was right there.
Yeah.
Jack had to pretend to be gay.
Rock Hudson.
Liberace.
I know.
Liberace. Elton John. No, not Liberace.
But I'm just saying. When she said that, I was just like, are you serious?
Did you point it out
did
to her?
I did not point out
Why?
Anything to her. But it's just funny thing. It just made me think that this was the 70s.
List of people in the 70s
mainstream
who were gay.
Network TV.
You've been married into the family long enough to
Charles Nelson Riley
throw things out like, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw reruns of that on the Game Show Network.
So
yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
I'm sorry.
He was great. I love him.
I apologize.
Yeah, so.
You shouldn't have.
I'll play my
Somebody
game.
Else should.
Mira very quickly dispatches of Siren, and then they all go over to Thul. And they decide they're going to destroy Thul quickly, and then when they leave there, then you see.
Do they pity the Thul?
I pity Thul.
They leave Thul, and then you see the Justice League, and they're like, "Oh, we saved as many people as we could."
Pity the Thul.
And now Aquaman, you're king again with thousands of. Is that the name?
Yeah.
How do you spell Thul?
T H U L E.
Just read Aquaman. He's trying.
And now Aquaman's king again with thousands of new subjects for Atlantis. And he had to make a big sacrifice so that way instead of Thul taking over Atlantis would take over Thul, and the sacrifice was he gave up Poseidon's powers that Poseidon gave him so he could combat everything.
When did Poseidon give him power?
During the last, like, maybe 5 issues ago.
Okay.
He walked up a lot of steps and saw Poseidon, and Poseidon said, "Here are my powers."
Why would he walk up steps to see Poseidon?
Because Poseidon was in like
ocean.
A pool. No, Poseidon was like in a temple, and in the temple there was like a little pool, and Poseidon was just like chilling in the pool.
Do you have like little water waders on?
No. The pool looked definitely undersized for Poseidon. He's massive.
There's a part in Aquaman that Colin brought up the like not too long ago about early Aquaman where he was like. That Dr. Shen, I think was his name, he said about his trident, he was just like, you know, he's not going to let you keep that or something. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They never went back to that, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Were they talking about the king?
I think so,
The first king?
Atlan.
It's just like they didn't play
there was
it
that,
up as well.
Yeah, there was that whole arc where he came back.
Yeah.
And he tried to take...
But why would he not let him keep it? Why wouldn't Dr. Shen just assume that guy's dead? Why would he come back and say...
Maybe Dr. Shen knew that he would be back.
That he would come back? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems like a really odd... Because everybody was wondering that in that first arc.
I think Jeff Johns wrapped that up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think.
I wasn't sure.
That was years ago, Adam.
That was
he
too
stopped
long
reading. He doesn't read.
Give the program.
Yeah.
He reads the Cliff Notes.
At least he got past page 2 of the Cliff Notes. So, yeah, everything just tied up very quickly. The art was still terrible.
Okay, so story sucks, art terrible.
No, I just... I thought this was an interesting idea, and it was very poorly executed. That's my whole theme for the podcast today. Good ideas, bad execution. Ruins the whole thing. And, like, the art in this book, the faces have been awful. They've just been god-awful. But I've never seen... I texted Colin yesterday. I've never seen a new creative team as blatantly promoted within the story pages of a book as this book, where the very last page is like, and come back next month for new writer Dan Abnett for like new Aqua Adventures.
Yeah. So, but at least they're promoting it as opposed
to people
like
that are already reading it.
I know, but at least they're doing something as opposed to going, oh, by the way, we might.
I almost
have
feel like it was a very blatant like, don't worry, Colin Bunn won't be here next month.
What?
He looked like he was like, yeah.
Luigi wins.
What did they do? Run out of ink on the swords? Like,
yeah.
They were just one side, and then the one will just make plain white.
Well, because all the sheets are one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but still.
Attention.
That one they should have not. It should have been the same.
Deadly Class, 18. So this is continuing the freshman finals killing spree that's been going on. So the last issue, which started this arc, was very, you know, over the top violent, and this one we kind of now have things settling in where the rats that are still alive are the ones that, you know, actually have, you know, some skills and are trying to get out of the school and try and hide within the city, and you have, you know, the people that weren't the rats that are hunting them down, the ones that are the strongest kind of really settling in. It's been kind of cool seeing Marx's old roommate, Shabnam, who was kind of a loser throughout the entire book and just pushed around, seeing how he is really like this mob boss kind of character in this situation. And he has dirt on everyone. And he, without getting his own hands dirty, is like controlling the entire thing. He's really, you know, vicious in kind of a very fun way.
I thought finals at Hogwarts was bad.
Yeah, this is... Yeah. And when this thing first started, I thought this was, you know, them just trying to get rid of these, you know, current rats. But I guess this is a, you know, every year thing where the freshman class goes through this freshman calling.
It's like the freshman 15, but much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like five slashings in the Gryffindor.
And we're finding out here, you know, how, you know, cruel and ruthless the headmaster of the school is, and how he's
short.
Guy, yeah, the short little Asian guy, yeah. But he's kind of a badass.
What issue is this up to?
18, Adam. Yeah,
that was delayed.
But that's the whole thing. It's like when you listen to it.
It had a standard yeah, image
it,
delay.
I would say it's like 3 months between.
Yeah, 3 to 6 months, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
I like the first issue. I read it. I got it on free comic book day. You gave away those essentials.
Never again. Things.
Never again. Yeah, why?
Give stuff away. That's crazy. Yeah,
It's not free for him.
Right, well, you can check out one of these other comic book shops around free comic book.
You buy name on it now.
No, this arc, 2 issues in, this arc has been really well paced and fun. A few issues before this arc were kind of, you know, too text heavy and slow to read. But it's really done very well out of the gate with this current arc. I've been enjoying it quite a bit. Faith, number one. So, Valiant's new miniseries.
This is the one I want to hear about.
I read the first page. No.
Yeah, so this is a book.
Come on, Colin. You got to have faith.
You know, faith. It's been promoted heavily as, you know, the first plus size, you know, superhero. It's not a book that I particularly thought was, you know, for me, but I like to support.
You trying to say you're not into big chicks?
It just it
just say you're it sounded you're like married, man. You can't.
No, it sounded like it was being more like a Batgirl, like the current Batgirl kind of book, which is great. It just
it's
is not
for you,
for me.
Yeah.
But it's only a miniseries, and I like to support, you know, Valiant. I like everything they're doing.
She
so
came from Harbinger, right?
She did come from Harbinger. So Faith is she's a psyop from Harbinger. She has the ability to fly, and she can also create these companion bubbles around other objects or people to carry them with her. She's flying, or use them to shield herself from things.
What, other people? her companion
What's that?
She uses the people that she's carrying around?
No, but she can create a companion bubble around herself as like a shield.
Oh, like Invisible Woman.
Kind of, yeah. And Faith is kind of like this goofy character. She is like this super fangirl before she had these powers unlocked. She was, you know, just typical, like, you know, nerd, fan of any nerd culture, comic books, things like that. And she comes across as a very, you know, down-to-earth character. And with this issue, she has decided to go out on her own because the Harbinger team, the Renegades that she was part of at the end of the Harbinger series, has kind of fallen apart. And she was dating one of her former teammates, but then broke it off, and she'd briefly joined Unity, but Unity's methods were a bit more, you know, brutal than she thought was right, so she quickly, you know, left the Unity team, so now is on her own on the coast. And she decided, well, if she's going to be a superhero on her own, she should get into journalism somehow, but then she finds that journalism isn't quite the way that it's played up in the comic books, and doesn't quite give her the same.
She doesn't have the time to do
it. Doesn't give her quite the same, like, inside info that she thought she would get. And she's dealing with, you know, the issue starts off with her neighbors upstairs, and it sounds like they're plotting some sort of, you know, murder. And she goes up and bangs on the door and finds out they're just, you know, two struggling actors that are practicing improv. But the book was just, it was just a fun, like, really, you know, down-to-earth take on a hero. It didn't play up, like, they kept playing up the whole, you know, this plus-size female superhero, and that wasn't really a factor in the book, and I think they played up...
It shouldn't be a factor.
It played up too much, there, I thought.
But that's just who she
is. No, putting a bunch of fat jokes in it would have been bad taste. Yeah. I mean, that's...
would have been like, oh, man.
But no, it was just, it was a really fun book. I think that, you know, female readers who are looking for, you know, a book that they could really relate to would greatly enjoy checking this book out. I think the miniseries format will be great for it. I don't know.
Did you read Batgirl after the change of it?
Briefly.
Okay. Does it have that feel exactly?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I didn't like
it. Because you were saying you thought
that's what it was
going to
be like.
But it wasn't at all.
It definitely has that more, you know, down-to-earth feel, which the current Batgirl has, where you're seeing her, you know, getting more of her out of the costume.
Or Peter Parker-esque.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. But my problems with Batgirl was I felt like they changed her personality, you know, from what it was completely.
Yeah, that was the biggest problem.
Like, she went from being this, you know, very intelligent crime fighter to suddenly she can't solve a problem with a hard drive. And she's a teenager.
Yeah,
she's just acting very different than how she was for the 30-some issues.
Better feel to it. Yeah. Recommend this over
Peter Parker is a pretty good, you know, comparison. She just, you're getting a lot of, you know, who she is.
Yeah.
Probably more of that than her in costume. And just seeing she's a hero that really, you
she's
know, loves what she's doing.
She's trying to do a real life superhero at the same time, but she sees it's not as easy as just putting on a suit.
Yeah, it's not a matter of balancing time like it is for Peter Parker. It's just, you know, she's trying to do what she can, but there's not as much as she thought there would be.
Or reality to it a little bit.
But no, it was really good. It was really fun.
Oh.
I will continue picking up this book. Grayson, number 16.
If Adam says it's interesting.
Grayson, number 16, was one of the funnest books I've read in a long time.
Yeah.
It starts off with this James Bond character. And he was definitely, like, they were making him James Bond. He was Agent 7 and everything. But this James Bond character who is going up to a bar to, you know, order a drink. And Grayson is the bartender, asking him anything special. He's like, no, that's too cliche. And then you see Grayson suddenly attack the guy after he says surprise him.
Yeah.
And then we find out that Grayson's teamed up with Agent 1, Tiger, which maybe I missed something. I don't remember how they end up teamed up together.
That was my only real complaint about this book itself, is because I think we kind of forgot something since Robin Orr.
I mean, there was something with...
Something happened in between, because they seemed to be at odds for a while.
They were, and now suddenly they're working together to take down Spiral by, you know,
and
going...
And I didn't get where, why all of a sudden they're taking down Spiral, because I thought that part...
Grayson was at odds with Spiral for a while.
Yeah.
But I thought that Tiger was also at odds with Grayson.
Yeah, because he thought
she had a thing where Tiger's ex showed up.
Well, it had to do with that guy who was doubling as mm-hmm. the Grayson, and it turned out it was the agent.
It was the girl that we thought was dead. It was his partner from before,
and he thought there was something involved with that. He was doing it, so that's why he was like he didn't trust Grayson at all.
But that aside, this was just Grayson and Agent One going
Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, you kept calling Tony the Tiger going off on all these different missions in these locations to take out key agents in the Spiral Network.
Collecting them and like hiding them somewhere, or are they just like knocking them
over? No, because the person in the in the car was the person that. The Agent 7 head.
Yeah, he was dealing with them, but they seemed to be like, we have to eliminate a bunch of agents, but they weren't really killing them.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
That
was one part I didn't quite get.
But the book very much played into the whole Bond thing. Yes. At one point you had Grayson come up with his own theme song.
Yeah.
And he starts, as you're going through this big montage that felt very much like an opening credits to a Bond movie.
All the pages are drawn out like a montage.
He's going through singing his theme song, which Adam pointed out, it's Goldfinger.
I'm sure it's Goldfinger. By how it, if you go back and watch Goldfinger and listen to that song, it's pretty well. There were some like adaptations to it to fit what he was trying to do, because he kept bouncing back and forth and trying to find rhymes and stuff, so he'd change it. And it was funny.
But it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely loved this issue.
It was easy to sum up, really, because that's all they did. They collected agents. He sang a song, James Bond song, at the end.
But it was so much fun.
Yeah.
The only criticism I could say is that we had nothing from Robin War. Like the events at the end of Robin War did not impact this book at all, which is fine. Well, it's just Robin War had such a huge change at the end that I was expecting to see something in that.
You know what? That's how he becomes Nightwing again.
Yeah, probably.
Singing his own song?
No.
Yeah.
By being Cornelius.
Yeah.
No, it was great.
It's a bird song.
I've really been loving this book.
Yeah.
At the end, and if the rumors that Tom King is taking over Batman are true, this gives me a lot of confidence. Yeah. He writes so many different books really well.
I like how they show the other secret agents. In there, they had Faraday and stuff, but they had Bronze Tiger, which I don't know who he's a part of or what they were dragging him. But he was just like I remember him. He used to call me Tony the Bronze Tiger or something like that. It came right back to it. It was just like, yeah, I can punch him in the face if I need to. It was fun. Just a really fun book. I mean, I haven't laughed at like a book for a while.
No, it was great. I have to go back now and. Read it,
Goldfinger.
Yeah. Well, I have to listen to Goldfinger and then read it again to see if it makes sense. The song,
yeah, it should.
And it was just super fun.
Get out of our pocket.
Justice League 3001.
That I've actually stopped because it's not that I wasn't liking it. I got so delayed in that book that I was never going to get back.
I know I read it, and I can't tell you a damn thing that happened in it.
So this is where they are all kind of, hiding out on this planet. They've taken jobs, and they're trying just to blend in while they can learn more about Lady Styx.
Yeah, because it's the all-female version. Mm-hmm. Batman is his great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter. Yeah, Tina. Yeah.
Who's kind of awesome in how crazy she is.
Yeah, like I said, I know I read it, and I can't recall anything about it.
Yeah, it was not a whole lot happened. This really just kind of filled us in on where they're all at now.
Probably why I can't.
They've all taken up different jobs and are hiding out. They have a headquarters now on Paradise Island, which is in ruin. And they're trying to figure out more about this Lady Styx, who is essentially, ruling over the galaxy. And apparently she's been, in control of things for a long time, but has done it all from the shadows, so no one really knew that she was there. But she has this, army of these, android things called the Scullions that can't be destroyed. Yeah. When you blow them apart, they just form back together again. So playing up as a super powerful, antagonist. And the only, you have Wonder Woman who doesn't want to keep, you know, hiding out, but knows they can't, you know, move on her yet. Supergirl has kind of become the de facto leader of the, you know, the group. And then Tina, Bruce Wayne's, you know, great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter, refuses to play ball and, you know, goes out and not trying to commit suicide, but she's taking on all these, you know, scullions in a situation where she can't win and not, you know, listening to any sort of reason, just thinking that she can plow through all in the name of Bruce Wayne. Not a whole lot really happened by the end of this issue, except, you know, we find out that Guy Gardner is slowly reverting back to the host that he was, you know, implanted in. And Lady Styx brings on Terry's brother, who is kind of has had his mind wiped after, you know, previous arcs, you know, the previous book. But he's going to play some important role and be, you know, reborn with, I guess, all of his, you know, who he was, his mind and his plots again. So
I think they should have killed them both off and made them the Wonder Twins. Because remember, that was a joke at the beginning, yeah, as they called them the Wonder Twins. Should have made them Jan and Zana.
Yeah.
Or Zan and Jaina. Give them a little monkey.
It was good, and the book was fun. Just, you know, not a whole lot happened in this. Were you reading that, Dave?
You know what? I have it. I didn't get to it.
Okay.
To read it, so. Maybe I won't bother now.
Wow. Monstrous number 3. So, this book, it's kind of a crazy book. We have these two opposing factions. We have the humans, and we have the Arcanics. And the Arcanics are kind of like these human-animal hybrid things that have, you know, magical abilities. And the humans almost feel like they're oppressing them, but there's allusions to this war that happened, and you get hints that the Arcanics were very brutal during the war, and the humans kind of fear what they're capable of. So this issue, we're following two of these Arcanics, Mecha and Kippa, as they are trying to get back to, you know, across the border, back to the Arcanics land. And in the process, you know, we find out that Mecha has this sort of demon thing inside of her that can come out and brutally, you know, just kill whatever's around her. So she has one arm missing, like just a stump there. And this thing kind of emerges from the stump of an arm she has. And it looks like this giant, like, tentacle monster sort of thing. And just brutally slaughters and rips apart.
This sounds like a weird Japanese movie.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. Don't worry, it doesn't play out like the back of a previous catalog.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that just gets creepy.
Yeah, it does. But she's, you know, brutally killing these guards that are chasing after her. And at the same time, these, you know, witch nuns that are on the humans, the Kumia, I think they're called, are trying to track her down. And we're getting, you know, teases to her past and how her mom was involved with these, you know, these nuns before this war. And there's this, you know, allusions to this ancient evil. It's been good. The story is really weird. This is probably the slowest issue so far. The other ones have been pretty fast paced, but it's a gorgeous book. Like the art's been fantastic through all three issues. The Omega Men number 8. So this is where we finally find out what Kyle Rayner's role is, and this is where he finally starts to turn towards helping out the Omega Men and what they, you know, want him to do. And they turn him by showing him all the destruction that the Citadel has caused. And we get to see kind of, you know, a bit more of the origin of all the different characters in the Omega Men. But again, this book's just, it's been fantastic. It's a very cinematic book. I think in trade form, this will read as, you know, two great trades. Superman 48. Superman goes to Steve Trevor for help. And he wants Argus's supply of kryptonite because he has a theory as to how he can cure his problem. He thinks that he has cells that Vandal Savage has tainted and they are preventing his healthy cells from being able to absorb, you know, sunlight and power up, almost like a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to use kryptonite to try and kill off those cells and get them out of his body, so that way the healthy cells can then once again absorb.
Yeah.
So he, you know, immerses himself in kryptonite. He becomes, he almost looks like the Superman from Flashpoint when it's all said and done.
Oh, okay, the real,
yeah, he's, yeah, very, you know, like scrawny, and it looks like he's about, yeah, to, yeah, about to die. And as he's going through that, then Argus gets attacked by Hodor Root trying to, you know, take Superman.
Hodor.
It was all right. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It's an interesting idea, and it looks like...
That's chemotherapy, basically.
Yeah, it's, yeah, chemotherapy, that's... and it looks like it has an effect, but not quite the effect that he was hoping. Like, it gives him powers, but not quite in the way that he was thinking it would.
I didn't see that as how he lost his powers to begin with. I thought he kind of absorbed his powers, Hodor Root.
They absorbed them, but he thinks that he also got poisoned or some way, and at the same time, so that way he couldn't recharge afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah. Because we found out that the Savage is behind all of this, so he thinks,
yeah,
Savage had this plan to kind
of... all the books, yeah. But they didn't tie any of those books together very well.
Well, because that happened right after they had the big thing saying, we're not going to do,
yeah,
normal crossovers, and but yet you're having all four of these books still
kind
tell like
did,
a story. That,
yeah,
yeah, it was weird.
They could have handled that better, like you said.
And the last one that I'll mention is the finale to The Twilight Children. Did you read it?
No, I did not. I'm behind, actually, I think, 3 and 4.
So,
did it wrap up well?
It wrapped up.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you if it wrapped up well because, again, with 4, I really don't understand everything that went on,
yeah,
at all. It was a gorgeous book.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Darwin Cook art.
I don't quite know why I enjoyed it, but I felt enjoyment,
okay,
inside,
well,
of me at the end, which
that's
is weird. This is one I need to go back through and read
altogether
as a whole now, and I think it'll make,
yeah,
more sense.
Just like the trampy girl.
The trampy girl? Oh.
The one who was sleeping around on her husband?
Tito? Something?
Yeah.
Not like Ella. The one that had the powers.
Oh.
Yeah. You're so far behind.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, but no, it was a really weird a really weird book. The ending, it wasn't a very definitive ending, but just, it was a gorgeous book, and the story was entertaining. It just, it's, yeah, it's one you have to read again to kind of get a solid grasp on, I think. And I think that is it for me. That was a lot.
Oh, I actually made notes. I sent them to Josh to go, look what I did.
Wow.
He's very proud of himself.
Well, part of the reason was I was
only
talking...
Only 2 books, though.
No, I was talking...
Oh, you
I
added.
Was talking to somebody, and they're like, what'd you read? And I'm like, I honestly could not remember what I read. And I'm like, okay. So I went back and looked. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I read these, and they were really good. So I decided to actually make some notes. But first one was Venus number 2. Premise is Earth is failing. Resources are used up. The Japanese and the Chinese have taken over Mars. So Earth, this is, I think the Americans are having to go to, heading to Venus to settle. NASA's already set up like a base there.
I can think of at least one problem with that.
Isn't it a gas planet? Like,
well,
no, it's
very dry, dead.
Hydrochloric acid.
Yeah. Things are very bad, but it's just one of those, where are we going to go? So in the first one, something happens on the way there. And it basically almost crash lands. The captain is killed on the way. So this new second-in-command takes charge.
And Vin Diesel's there, and it's night.
And then they show up at the thing, at the base. They finally get there. And, like, the robot that is in charge of things is malfunctioning. And the place looks trash, and that's all you can see. So in issue 2, things really get rolling. It's they're getting set up on Venus, but the installation was placed on a fault line. So there are Venus quakes all the time. They call them earthquakes, but they're like Venus
quakes.
But it's
because it's Venus, yeah.
Right. And so that has collapsed the greenhouse and cut the electric line. They didn't plan for that. So they only have 5 hours of oxygen in their spacesuits, and they have to go and try to fix this. But
they were smart enough to somehow terraform Venus to where they could live, but didn't think that tectonic activity would happen, right. even though it's present
right.
everywhere
well,
else. And
just
he's got a point.
Something happened, right. Explain. And also the greenhouse collapsed because of stuff falling from the sky that they had not prepared for.
Okay, no, that's
and one. That's what happened. So well, they go
what,
in, and there's this...
What's falling from the sky?
Stuff.
Just things?
Yeah.
Probably space junk from Earth.
But
that's the worst of it out.
There's one character who doesn't need a spacesuit, like doesn't need a helmet, and she has these like studs along her head. And at one point, they get to the electric thing, and she plugs a cable into it, and is able to figure out what the problem is. But before this, because the air's running out, they go and they're told to make videos, send them to home just in case.
They you know, don't like that.
Like not a last will, but a final goodbye. And so you get a lot of detail about the different characters based on what they do. One guy has gone on this mission to escape bookies that are come to get his money. He's like, if I die, the best thing knowing is I screwed all you
that's
guys.
That's kind of a good idea because that's like you. When it was, we're it, always talking about Bendis with the talking heads.
Yeah.
But that's a reason it to was have a, yeah. said talking heads.
It was good. But then also one of the crewmen come to the new captain and say that the explosion that happened on the thing was sabotage. Which means one of the people that's still with them now was the saboteur. So he's trying to figure out who it is, and the captain's basically like, well, you know, you don't have to worry about me being it. He's like, well, how do I know that? He said, well, because if I'm the one that did it, I would kill you right now. So, you know, to keep you from letting people know.
And then the Somali guy's like, I am the captain now.
Yeah. So this has started. And so then there's like a space station out in space, and they're trying to...
It's a good place for it.
Well, they're trying... In order to contact Earth, they have to go through this space station to Earth and wait till they're lined up to contact Earth because it's so far away. They're like a relay point.
Oh, okay, yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Because they're calling NASA to basically say either we need more supplies because we've had all these problems, or we need to be extracted because this isn't really working. It's on a fault line. Things are bad.
Either one of them would take a... At least
right,
a year,
right. Well, things have gone bad. They can't get off because their ship crashed and everything. So the very last panel is one that it's one of those panels that brings you back. You're like, okay, well, I have to keep reading this. So they finally come in line and they have visual on Earth, and it just is about to broadcast their message. Earth explodes.
Aww. Why?
And now they got.
We don't know. That was the last page.
That's a bummer.
So now it's one of those okay.
That's kind of out of nowhere.
Because like they can't grow one of the things. The guy's like, we can't grow anything here because there's no. It's just it's you know the soil is not soil. It's just it's... nothing. So that was very you know I really like that. First one was okay. The second one I thought was really.
That's why they were leaving to go to Venus to terraform it.
There were I forget exactly what it was, but there was problems on.
So there was problems anyways.
Yeah.
Okay,
but now you know it's going to be a question of was it the people on Mars who blew it up. And whatever. So no, but that was good. So we're two issues in, but that's been a good start. Another one that I read that took good notes on was Violent number 2. It's an Image one. Really interesting. Basically, guy gets out of jail for, I'm guessing, drugs or robbery. You know, just
something violent.
He's a petty criminal though. He's just a loser. He gets back to his wife. He has a baby. He's kind of trying to get his life back together. She has like a crappy job cleaning offices, things like that. In issue one, he's going to meet with some guy who I think wants him to pull some job. And he's like, no, I can't talk about this. I'm trying to do this stuff. And he meets him in a bar, leaves his kid in the car because he doesn't want to bring the kid into the bar. And the guy makes him have a beer with him. Wife at work, and they're really struggling for money. Wife's at work. Their old drug dealer comes along and, like, gives her some drugs. I'm guessing heroin, but let's say. And she's like, no, I'm not taking this. He's like, no, just take a free sample. So she puts it in her pocket. She goes into work. Her pay is not what it's supposed to be, and because it's at night, there's no one to talk to, but the rent's due, and now there's not enough money to cover the rent, and she's completely stressing out. And then she goes into the bathroom and she has these drugs. So that's the end of issue one. So issue two starts... Oh, and the end of issue one is he goes out to the car and the kid's gone. So issue two starts, he's in the police station. They have the kid. Someone came along, saw the kid. So now he's lost custody. They've given it to her mom, the kid to her mom. Wife is missing. Nobody knows. She left work. Nobody knows where she is. Cop shows her... surveillance video at the building she was cleaning and could see her talking with the drug dealer. But he denies knowing who he was. You know, I don't know who that guy is. Then he goes, gets his friend that he was at the bar with, goes to the drug dealer's house to confront him. Where is she? And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen her in years, blah, blah, blah. Starts wailing on him and just beating him. Where is she? And hitting him and hitting him. Well, he gives him an uppercut, falls back, hits his head on the table, dead. So now, crap. You know, one, my only lead to know where she is dead. Two, I just killed a guy. And what are we going to do? So it ends, this guy had a pit bull that was attacking them that they finally got into the bathroom while they were fighting.
Feed him to the pit bull.
Basically, that's what he does. He opens the door, letting the dog out of the bathroom, and then they get out, so the dead body's going to be in there with the pit bull. But, so that's how it ends. And it's just like, okay, this is just, this guy's life is getting bad to worse. But it's, you know, interesting, and I'm going to keep reading because I want to see where this is going.
And then the earth explodes.
No! No.
Wow, did not see that coming at all.
No.
Blank pages. Like, yeah. It happens on page two, and it's like blank, 20 blank pages. What the hell?
You think we'd be surprised by now? We wouldn't be surprised by now of this.
So, Old Man Logan, anybody read that?
Nope.
Okay. Good. Because it literally starts right from the mini, or not the mini series, but the Old Man Logan story. It doesn't have anything to do with Secret Wars other than he's now in present time.
But he basically. Later.
Well, he basically, not really.
He's not in present time, he's in 8 months later.
No, because basically he wakes up in, like, Times Square naked, not knowing where he is, what's going on. People, like, coming up to him, are you okay and stuff. He automatically pops the claws. He doesn't know what's going on.
I'm kind of thinking that's a normal Friday, though, for Rogan.
Right, right. But even the cops see him, they're like, is that? I don't think so. How did he get so old? So, you know, there's some recognition, especially when he pops the claws. So he kind of...
Is he back, the normal Wolverine who was frozen in adamantium?
No.
Okay.
No. So he basically, he finds out when he is, and the things that started, that led to Old Man Logan, with the bad guys taking over the country and everything, like, started in 2017. So he realizes he has the opportunity to prevent that from happening. So there's a flashback where he's meeting somebody, he's going to get some part for one of his farm equipment. Goes this thing, and these guys start, like, picking on him. And his kid's there, and basically, yeah, this one guy's just picking on him, steals his kid's hat, and he kind of has to go away without fighting back, because that's his commitment, that he won't pop the claws, and just, he takes it. So, in present time, he runs into that same guy before he's taken over all this stuff, and starts, you know, accusing him. It's like, what, he's just clearly just a petty criminal at this point. Doesn't matter. Kills him. And then he's written on his arm all the other people that he needs to deal with. And on it is Banner and Red Skull and some other people. And so these are the people he needs to take out so that that future doesn't happen.
How does he do that?
My only problem with this book.
With his claws.
Yeah.
He would heal.
No, no. He just wrote it like on a Sharpie or something. But it's just this list of people to get. No, no, I mean, he remembers, but it's just like his, you know, it's like Kill Bill.
He thought he
you know,
was
he's
like,
making
well, no, yeah, no,
like
I thought,
he was
But my problem with this, now, I have not read The Extraordinary X-Men. I read the first issue, but this is not, like, a kind of guy that's going to join a superhero team and do stuff. This is guy pretty steadfast on a mission.
He's got a mission,
I think, but the weird thing is they're both written by the same guy. They're both written
by Lemire. I think Extraordinary X-Men does take place the 8 months later.
Okay, so this is...
So,
before, okay.
Yeah, I think you're seeing him there after he's already done.
Killed Hulk and Red Skull.
Okay, not well explained, but... I mean, it was good. Yeah, the Andrea Sorrentino art was very good.
I'm actually more intrigued by that now that you've talked about it.
Yeah,
it was good. Do you still have it on shelf?
Yeah.
I wanted to buy it until I read that miniseries, and then...
Yeah, but I don't think it doesn't have anything.
Yeah, but I was so soured the idea.
Exactly. That's where I am on that, so I might look into that.
Next one I read was Strayer, which is from Justin Jordan from... That's one from Afterburn.
Aftershock.
Interesting book. I didn't care for the art. There was a lot of weird things, especially early on, that kind of turned me off to the art. Not that it was bad, just it was a little more amateurish-y than... but basically, it's set in a world where magic was all-powerful, and there were these fantastic cities, and something happened,
and all the cities crumbled. And metal is now very valuable. And it's basically this guy sitting in a bar, and this girl comes along with some sort of magic. He has these powers to take out these, it's like Attack on Titan thing. Oh, Titans, that's what they're called. Titans. Okay. So he takes it out, and turns out it's actually like a giant robot. And by taking it out, it also took out half the town, and the townspeople are all angry. And he's like, well, you know, the authorities won't be here for a little while, and if you notice, this thing's all made out of metal. So, and then this one girl who had been popping up throughout kind of traps him with some sort of spell so that he can help her. And her mission is to restore the world back to the glory that it used to have. So, not bad. Decent story. Like I said, I just was not a huge fan of the art. Cry Havoc, I read this morning. Much better than I thought. It was basically pitched as Lesbian Werewolf Goes to War. That was the brief summary.
That's a hell of a pitch.
And I'm like, well, yeah, one, the lesbian part was irrelevant. I mean, okay, she is, but it's not like that's her character. It's basically new werewolf, where she was just bitten, recruited to go to Afghanistan to take out, to find another person that the government had put in there to do something. Like, they had brought these people over to do this job. And it had gone bad, and they had, like,
first she almost like
Apocalypse Now, where now these people had taken over this area, and now they were going in to stop them. And because she was a new werewolf, she could smell this person and stuff. And it starts off with you're seeing somebody captured, and you don't know who, and they're talking to in a cage, and then it flashes. But it was good. I think, Pat, you might like it. It's, you know, very much more military than I expected. Okay. It
you
was
had
good.
Me a lesbian,
and then
werewolf.
At the end, like she's.
You didn't even have to add the military.
And
much?
Then it flashes forward where she has been captured by this person she was hunting.
Okay.
And it's almost like they're trying to recruit her. But that was very good, and not much more than the summary. And then Superman Lois and Clark number 4. Did you read that?
I did read it. What
okay.
was on my list?
I don't know. But basically, in this one, it's there's a little bit of a flashback where Lois gives him the black outfit and said, I've always liked you in black. It's like, and they're in Metropolis, and all of a sudden they're having to hide from people. Like, Jimmy Olsen comes walking by.
Yeah.
And they put up their hoods so that they're not recognized. But, and the only the weird thing was they were somewhere, and someone called him Mr. Kent. I found that like a mistake because they were going as white. I thought they were going as white.
Oh, no, the guy that called Mr. Kent.
Look like
oh, he thought it was.
No, because okay. It was the blind guy. It was the blind musician guy.
Okay, gotcha.
And he gave us some money and said something, and he recognized his voice.
Okay. So. I just remember seeing that and going, what? But then basically she goes to meet, she's an author, like author X, writing all this expose stuff, but nobody knows who she is. She goes to meet with her editor, and there's a knife in the thing saying, we have her. So she quickly leaves with, she has the kid, and just a guy comes up basically saying, you know, excuse me, can you help me find my way? And it turns out this is, at least on her world, the head of Intergang, and she's assuming has the same role. And so she's kind of been found out now. And then there were a couple things that was weird. Was that in the fortress, like the Fortress of Solitude, the thing with Superman? Where he had a couple people imprisoned. He had Hank Henshaw and this new guy. Right.
Yeah, where he built
like
the mountains.
He burst through the floor, like trashing this one whole area, which made no sense. Why is he trashing his own Fortress of Solitude?
He got thrown through it.
No, it was before that. It was the first time you see him. He comes up through the floor, like smashing something. And then at one point, bad guy throws a car at him. But it's clearly in the middle of the Arctic. And I'm like, why did he have a car in his Fortress of Solitude? It was just a car. It wasn't like, they didn't make it out
was
to be anything special.
Was it the car he picked up in Action Number 1?
I mean, it was just weird that this guy throws the car. But basically, now he's being attacked by Hank Henshaw and this other villain.
Blank,
yeah. So, but it was good.
Because Blank can control people.
Yeah, and he's controlling Hank Henshaw. And then they added yet another thing at the end where they're looking something for something that, like, Henshaw had. These other outer space people go to this space platform and realize that the thing isn't there anymore, and they have to go to Earth to try to find it. But, yeah, no, I think that one's been good.
It's been
very
really
entertaining.
It's been really enjoyable.
I'm done. That's all I had. Didn't you read that?
I did. I was just reading the trade.
It's great.
Josh is looking at Prez, which I highly, highly recommend.
No, it caught me out because
I like how it's got a corn dog.
DC never comes out of the trade this quickly.
Yeah.
True.
After the issue.
True, but I think on that one, timing is very important.
No, and I'm glad that they did something they should have done.
Yeah. Oh, the one thing, neat thing on the Bizarro trade, they put they printed the spine upside down. I thought that was kind of good.
Oh, then that one came out quick, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good, because...
Boo-ray!
Adam, did you read anything?
Batman and Robin Eternal.
No, nobody's
17.
Reading that. Why are you talking about that?
I read it.
You can talk
about it, though.
Not a lot. Like, it showed you... I thought the issue was kind of misleading, actually, because the cover states that it's his biggest,
that can't be the biggest secret. That has to be
something. Yeah, that's what I said. There's a lot of stuff that had happened before.
We knew he didn't really kill people.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like the secret wasn't that great. Like, we knew that wasn't the case.
But that's basically what this issue was about, going back and seeing him go after to do this transformation.
The only thing I can think about, the thing that he's so remorseful of, is through him trying to expose her, he ended up putting her into action against, you know, to try and recruit some kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not the ones we saw him with, but she said that her people were already out there about to, you know, kill some random kid's parents. And
yeah.
So I wonder if that actually happens or whatever, and that's...
Yeah, I was wondering that, too. And then the end of this... All of these books have really been pointing to Harper. A lot of them have been pointing to Harper, that something... There's more to her than everybody else.
We've been seeing that since the start of the new 52.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And I think this is
them
playing
it
up. And then at the end of this issue, an orphan says, "There's things about you or something that you don't know," or something like that. I feel like she might have not been
Cassandra.
Created.
He was talking about Cassandra
that
you don't know. No, he was specifically talking about her because she acted like she knew everything about Cassandra, and he said,
"Oh, there's other things about Cassandra."
Yeah,
what
she was actually doing in Gotham.
She wasn't just giving people hugs.
I still think there's more to Harper than we know. She just there's something about
more than meets the eye.
But it wasn't a bad issue. Didn't have a lot in it, though.
No, this one is a middle of the road.
You can't expect that with the weekly. So, another one I read was Kanan, which I don't know if you're still reading. Dave.
I read that. I really can't remember.
Well,
it wasn't very memorable.
It isn't very memorable because they've been stuck on this story. Basically, they've been telling the story of how Kanan met he started working with his master. And them working with the clone troopers that they had before Order 66. They showed you Order 66 at the beginning of the series. Now they're going back even before that, to when they met the clones troopers that they were with.
Mm-hmm.
In this issue, one of his this younger like trainee clone trooper that Kanan was becoming friends with dies, and is killed by I think a regular droid, wasn't he? He was shot or something. Maybe he was stabbed.
They're clones
by somebody else. There was another like bad guy out there too that was. I just don't remember who killed him exactly.
I can't remember.
But the whole thing leads up to General Grievous showing up. General Grievous was the one who killed all of Kanan's master's clone troopers and put her into that little put her into a state that she wouldn't want to go out there anymore, and then she finally did. So she kind of is facing her fears in this. Not a bad issue. The problem with this book is it's staying too much in that, like, I don't know how much you're going to be able to tell with the past on this guy without, in the end, you know, what else can you tell? The only thing that they can start to get into, which I wish they would, was his tale after when he starts to become Kanan and not Caleb. When he's Caleb the Jedi, we saw that. It's done. But now I want to see when he becomes Kanan, he starts meeting his group of rebels.
I agree.
Whatever.
That would be an interesting
story.
That
I want to see more of now. So, frankly, it's a good Star Wars book. I kind of like it. I don't think you have to really watch the cartoon to understand it. I think on its own, it's telling his story, and that's all you need to really know about that.
Isn't that book ending?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like they didn't get to the point where they could have told more with the character. He stuck too much of that past story of Caleb. So, I wrote JLA on my list, but I just remember I did not finish JLA, so I don't know if anybody was able to read it.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I remember reading it a little bit, but
it's you know, still the Ralph storyline.
Yeah.
They're starting to figure out
what's going on,
yeah. and kind of how he's doing what he's doing, where essentially he's taking, you know, minutes of life from all the followers
on all the planets,
and that's how, yeah, that's how he.
So they even made it a point of it into this book that he's more powerful than Superman, because not only does he have the power of the yellow sun, but he also has that power of sacrificing his followers.
Yeah.
The stuff with Wonder Woman, I didn't quite get. She puts together, because they just kind of happened in between the books.
Yeah.
She put together, back together, Olympus. Olympus was abandoned,
mm-hmm.
I guess, because of...
of Ral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Olympus has fallen?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gerard Butler was not there, though.
But for some reason, she's able to put it together because she willed it to be put back together or something.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get that. This isn't a bad story. I think it's going on for a little longer. It probably needs to.
Yeah.
A lot of focusing on the same thing for two issues, you know, and it didn't need to. Like, Wonder Woman has been on Olympus for maybe three issues so far, trying to look at what happened. You know, it's just like, come on, move on.
And they did nothing with Barry in Infinity Inc.
Yep.
That
needs to be focused on.
Yeah.
That seems like the whole point of this story is those rocks.
Yeah.
Not bad, but I think they need to get a move on it.
Come on, Brian Hitch.
Yeah. No, that's the book I'm wondering what's going to happen with this whole change, because that wasn't supposed to, continue, right? It wasn't just supposed to be a Brian Hitch book. I thought they were going to start.
I don't know.
Yeah. And We Are Robins. Did anybody read that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did.
Okay. This introduces the idea of Jokers, which I thought was kind of cool. Yeah.
Now, I wondered, though, is this the same Joker gang as Batman Beyond?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think that's what they're trying to go for in this. Because being that they made Batman Beyond kind of part of the universe, the regular DCU,
mm-hmm.
I think they're going to go in that direction. They introduce a character who, I think his name was Smiley.
Yeah.
And... at first, I don't really like this guy because
he's
one of those
dumb
characters that, like, another Joker. Like, basically, he's another Joker.
But he became kind of captivating.
Yeah. And then he became a little more interesting as the issue went on.
Yeah, I think this is one of the rare occasions where seeing his background makes him a better character. Where I think with the actual Joker, not knowing his background makes him a better character.
I liked his obsession with the Joker and why he was obsessed with him. I kind of liked it. I want to see where they go with this. It's kind of interesting having a group of, you know, of course, if you set up a group of Robins out there, there's going to be somebody who's just like, this is a good idea, but what if we do it on the opposite extreme, you know, evil.
And then Duke finds his parents.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's been searching all the hospitals, but didn't think they'd search the mental institutions.
Which is where he should have really started after Joker gas was affecting them, but whatever. Yeah.
And then the only thing I didn't care for was the involvement of the Nest. Quote unquote Alfred, supposedly.
Yeah, we still haven't figured that one out.
Yeah.
Lefty.
Mm-hmm. Which is bad taste, Colin. He lost his
too soon.
He was a hero. Yeah. And he's fictional. But him finding his parents, I don't know how that's going to go in, because remember the last issue of Batman? They had that panel where he was just like, I'm sorry, Duke, and he was looking for his parents. So I don't know if that was going to, like, cross into that, or that's going to be the same thing. So we'll see. But I've liked this book. I think it's kind of a cool idea. I hope they actually, I don't know if this book's continuing or what after this.
No, it's been great. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really good.
So it won't continue.
At first, I didn't know how this book was going to go, because I looked at it and I was like, I don't know, a team of Robins, isn't that going to be? But it's actually kind of an interesting idea, the fact that they're not necessarily official.
I think that's the thing. Once Bruce goes back to being Batman, I don't think that he's going to allow that to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Not unless they become trained and all.
I don't know if you will or you won't. I'm interested, though, to see.
Here's the thing. If Alfred's the one that's kind of running this, Bruce ain't going to let that fly.
If they stick with what they're saying, that all those memories, it's not amnesia, it's truly, you know, his brain was rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to see a very different Batman.
It's possible, yeah.
Whenever Bruce, you know, dons the cowl again.
Yeah, I guess we'll see in the next issue kind of how that plays out, you know, with,
you know. Two more issues.
Yeah.
Because last one was 48.
Okay, yeah. That was 49, but yeah.
No, 48 were the coloring books, 49 is Neil Adams.
Okay.
Well, that's it. That's all I read.
That's it.
That's mm-hmm. it.
The Beauty. Oh. So this was number.
You want to stay here later?
Hmm?
You want to stay here later?
Why?
You said that's it?
Oh, no, I didn't realize Pat hadn't gone.
No, remember we did rock, paper, scissors.
I thought you chose scissors.
I did. He chose paper.
Yeah. The game's called Rock, Paper, Scissors.
I thought you were counting.
But neither of us were.
Paper doesn't cut scissors.
That was paper. He cut me.
Got it.
So you had to go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, you get what I'm saying?
Well, I went after Dave. Yeah. Dave went first. Then it was, where does it branch off after Dave, Pat or Josh?
Oh.
Josh lost, so it went this way.
Okay.
Got it. Oh, they didn't. They're picking whether which one didn't want to go.
Right. Yeah. So that was my confusion.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Someone had to be, you know, last man up.
What is going on right now?
I just assumed whoever won would go, not whoever won didn't go.
He did win. He had scissors. I had paper. I lost.
Right, but you went before him.
Oh,
you thought
we were seeing
it.
Yeah. You thought we were so excited to go?
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
What he's saying.
Right.
What world are you in?
I know he's excited.
Don't you pay attention to these things?
No, I'm playing my game.
Yeah, I know. So the Beauty. This was the last part of this arc.
Beauty, eh?
And this is another, you know, Image book that's going to go on hiatus. I think they said till July. So in the last issue, they come up with a cure for this, the Beauty sickness. But it had some pretty horrible results.
Dry skin.
Severely dry skin. You look like. Do you remember the old guy on the Six Flags commercial?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that guy. That's what they reminds me.
Wow.
Oh, there we go.
He's lost it.
Yep.
No, I do remember that commercial.
That's pretty much what happens.
Well, he breaks out that dance.
To the old dance.
Yeah.
Where is this book going?
That would be even better. So, there's some stuff where they had an assassin that was essentially, you know, chasing them down. We find out that he has, it looks like he had some version of the cure given to him, but it didn't do exactly what it did to the female detective. And then Foster, who was her partner, takes the cure in public because that's supposed to spread the cure for everybody. And that's the last page. So we don't know, is it going to work? And if it does work, is everybody going to look like the Six Flags guy? Because that would be weird.
What's the problem with that? That guy seemed happy.
Well, yeah, but if you wouldn't think, you know, they were intentionally getting the Beauty sickness.
Yeah.
So they could be beautiful. So,
you know. They died looking like the Six Flags guy. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, but that's. We're all going to die anyway.
Jeez, downer podcast.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
I'm done, Colin.
There you go for a title.
No, we already got a title.
We're all going to die anyway.
We've been alive long enough, haven't we?
Change it, Colin.
That's Colin's. Yep, but you invite us back every week anyway.
Yeah, you show up and you give me money, so hey.
That's how I got married. The next one is...
Wow.
Next one was He-Man, which this is the penultimate issue of the Eternity War.
Penultimate. Swear to me.
That's it.
He's penultimate combo.
He's lost it.
No. Josh, listen to Josh. He's over here. Don't give me grief.
He lost it, too.
So He-Man ends up... getting new armor, and he fights this like super version of Skeletor, and
like Super Shredder,
kinda, but less blades.
I think so.
But he's like, you know,
did he punch his hand up through a dock? Probably on top of him.
No.
Crazy veins all over his arm.
No.
Yeah, how would you even see those, anyways, on what? Shredder?
What do you mean,
the veins?
You saw him on it when he
had all the underside of the armor. Well, no, but I think the underside of the armor was still exposed
because somehow his armor like mutated with him.
Just to see if it did or it didn't. I thought he did have like a bunch of veins. Like,
if I recall, his armor was all mutated as well somehow.
Okay. Yes, yeah, that did happen for some reason.
Weird.
I don't know.
But we didn't care because we were listening to Vanilla Ice.
That's true.
Yeah.
Go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
You don't know how ooze works?
Go Ninja, go Ninja.
I'm still pissed that they used Toka and Rezar instead of using Bebop and Rocksteady.
It just didn't make sense.
What was the whole point?
Why?
Yeah.
What were you saving Bebop and Rocksteady for that you had to come up with two completely different...
Yeah, no, and then, you know, okay, well, we're saving for the third. No, in the third one, he sent him back in time. So
fire extinguishers are their downfall, too.
The only thing I can think of is that they wanted to have characters that almost had personalities like babies or toddlers, and they didn't want to do that to Bebop and Rocksteady since they were so established.
I guess. Or just to create new characters for new toys.
Yeah,
that's really what it is. And now they've added them.
Have you ever met someone with a Toka or Razor toy?
I don't think I ever made them. I had Slash.
I bet they did. But they do now. You're going to have a hard time searching that because the new cartoon, they added them in and Bebop and Rocksteady, so they're going to have toys for that.
Oh, okay.
I know. That's,
you got to look up search. Vintage yep, token.
There go.
It's closed now. Yeah, the iPad
done.
Can't be used
We're
again.
Done with that.
Anyway.
He may change his armor a lot. I've been reading the trade. Every time his sword changes or something like that, like they're like, you get new armor.
Yeah.
And then he, like,
why is his
evolves.
Sword changing?
Well, he had to forge a new sword in order to fight. And it,
the power of...
Yeah. He had to get Grayskull's actual power.
Yeah.
Because he's a descendant of King Grayskull. And...
Somehow he reforged it.
Like, that's really
King
what it was.
Grayskull forges the sword. Originally.
The original then power sword, He-Man and then he reforged it.
Reforges it.
And it was kind of like a double
it
blade.
More,
it was,
it's
yeah,
got a little
it was
to
a little
it.
Weird. It kind of looked like the energy sword in Halo, where it looked like a single blade, but it was actually split in two.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then She-Ra fights Hordak, but it's not really Hordak, it's a spirit. Because Skeletor apparently has the power to raise spirits to fight people. He-Man defeats Skeletor. She-Ra defeats Hordak. Tila is fighting Evil Limb, but Tila is...
She's still the goddess.
She is the goddess for the Snake Men. Evil Limb has become the goddess for Horvath, which is the bat on the Hordak symbol. So she's about to kill Tila. Man-at-Arm and the spirit of Zor, who is the sorceress, intervenes. And Man-at-Arms essentially gives his life for Tila, and she's now restored. She's not green.
Well, Zor is the goddess.
Anymore.
And then the goddess puts her powers into who's become the sorceress.
Right. But right, because like right now, Tila is the sorceress of Grayskull, but instead of being...
Sometimes it takes the form of like a snake, and then sometimes it takes the form of a bird.
Well, no, it
I didn't quite get that.
Horvath is the Horde version of that spirit.
Okay.
What Tila is now is the Snake Man version of that spirit, and then what Zor is the Eternian
version
of that spirit.
Of that.
So,
got it.
Yeah, confused?
Talking about.
Go read books.
I'm playing my game.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Been playing your game since we started the podcast.
I have.
Yeah, so now Tila's back to being Tila again.
Sleeping.
And we don't know, you know, what's going to happen. We got one issue left and then it's over.
Because what is this, Josh?
He-Man.
The penultimate issue. Penultimate issue.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene.
Are you winning real money on that?
No.
Why are you playing it then?
Because I'm also losing real money.
He'd rather play that than listen to us.
No, I'm listening to every word you say.
Okay, well.
It's this or I'm going to put my head down on my desk and then
then it'll be over.
Well, that's
school. We don't have a desk.
It's a table.
Yeah, it's a table. You don't have a desk.
Well, that's what all I got. So why don't you tell us what's coming out next week, and then you can put your head down.
Are you prepared?
I'm
you ready.
Well, I am, except I can. Sorry.
Quick word from our sponsors. We don't have any. We're waiting for
next week. Is actually a pretty good week. Like, not a lot of big books, but a lot of books. So we got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 2, because I know everybody's excited about that.
Number 2.
And just in case you want something that's all new, we have all new, all different Avengers, all new Hawkeye, all new Wolverine, and all new X-Men. Badger number 1.
We don't need no stinking Badger.
This is a funny one where Mike Barron, the writer of Badger, tweeted or did a Facebook post saying, you know, orders were horrifically low on this book, and he's, you know, really bummed about it. And all of a sudden, I get all these people saying, hey, hold that for me. I want one of those. I want one of those. And I felt like saying, why didn't you do this before the orders were due? Because all these people had no idea this book was even coming. You did a pretty bad job promoting your thing.
But, like, the week after the preview order was due?
That I don't remember. But it was just funny. I got these mentions. But I ordered plenty because I loved the Badger back in the 80s. It was originally a Capital Comics book, and then at issue 2 it went to First. Basically, he was the original Deadpool. He was insane. He had a, like, an ancient sorcerer buddy that went along with him called Ham. But just a really fun book. So it's coming out as a new 5-issue mini.
When was it originally out?
Early 80s. This was from First Comics, so, and it's again, like, from Batman First Comics. Oh, yeah, like long before anything.
Yeah, I think I'll take one of those.
Okay. Batman is out next week with the Neil Adams variant as well. The Batman Arkham Knight Batgirl and Harley Quinn variant, or not variant, that's the main one. I'm participating in the Comic-Con in your store. I don't know any details about it yet. It's sometime in March. But basically, it's going to be on TV, and it's going to be, they're going to have guests and, you know, celebrities and stuff, and we're going to have some exclusive books to sell.
You're going to get celebrities in here?
But it'll be on the TV. So it's going to be, that's what they're doing.
So
we can't
talk to them, they can talk to them.
Probably. Yeah, I doubt there's really a two-way thing. So it's just something, we'll see how it goes. Apparently they did it last year. Very
you're kinda
small.
Giving it like a,
but
I don't know.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
Batman, Superman, Neil. Oh, but the reason I mentioned that is there's a special variant of the Batman, Arkham Knight, Batgirl, and Harley Quinn that'll be out for that. Batman, Superman is a Neil Adams variant. Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 3. Black Knight, number 5, on its way out.
The penultimate issue.
It is. Dark and Bloody, which is a fun one. it's a Vertigo book.
You stole
and,
my line.
Of course.
And here is, the pitch was, what was it? It was Moonshine Monsters in the Backwoods of Kentucky. So I'm like, okay, that sounds like a good Vertigo book. Deus Ex, which I'm guessing is a video game tie-in. Oh, Darth Vader 16, Deadpool 7. Woo! Giant 25th anniversary issue.
Surely has nothing to do with the movie coming out next
no,
week.
No, has nothing to do with that. Dr. Mirai
coming next week?
No, it's coming this. Wasn't it this week or next week?
The 12th.
Oh, okay, so it's next week. Okay. Dr. Mirage Second Lives, number 3. Oh, breaking news. Breaking news. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Movie coming out.
We
just got that.
Stephen Curry finishes 1 3-pointer shy of single game record. Okay. Flash adult coloring book variant, only a little late.
The Flash is always late.
True. Green Lantern Corps, Edge of Oblivion, number 2. Gutter Magic, number 2. Harley's Little Black Book, number 2. Injection is back. Gem and the Holograms, Valentine's Day special. That took care of you for Valentine's Day.
The last cover was scary.
Jonesy, number 1, which is a new one aimed at a little younger age, but it's a teenage girl who has the power to make people fall in love, except she doesn't do it for herself, so she's living a miserable life and trying to find love. And it's one of those cutesy things.
Aww.
Jughead, next week, Dave. Justice League of America, the Silver Age trade paperback, which I think is cool. This is you know, clearly going to be, you know, JLA probably starting at Brave and the Bold 28. But just, I think it's neat. It's a trade.
Is the cover star hit them fighting Star?
Probably. Probably. But it's $20. Be. So, I mean, it's an affordable way to read that stuff. So hopefully it's nice and thick. Last Contract, number 2. You read that.
It's white.
It is. You read number 1, Last Contract.
Wait.
Yeah. Somebody else did. Yeah, I did. Number two's out of that. Leaving Megalopolis, Surviving Megalopolis, number two. I still need to read the first one.
Good.
Because really I liked the issue, but I felt really lost because I didn't know who anybody was and relationships and everything. New Avengers, number six. Ninjak, number 12. Old Man Logan, number two. Perfect time to grab number one, see? Red Wolf, number three. Woo! Zach, that's for you, buddy. Reincarnation Man, I don't know what it is, but it sounds interesting. Second Sight, number one. I don't know, again, but... Shaft, Imitation of Life, number one, Pat.
Hell yeah.
Slash and Burn, number four. Spider-Gwen, number five. Spider-Man, Deadpool, number one.
We already had
number two, sorry.
Yeah, number
four. Weird World, number three, because everybody loves Weird World, and every book seems to be tying into Weird World. I had a little problem with this. And Black Knight is the king of Weird World. Squadron Supreme ended up in Weird World, where they were then confronted by the Uncanny Avengers, who were in Weird World. And then my understanding is the last issue of Extraordinary X-Men also went to Weird
World. What is Weird World?
Yeah.
That's, it's weird.
Now you're kind of understanding the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Zombie Tramp, well, I look. Valentine's Day special. Yeah, but it says VD special like one-shot. Yeah, I know.
Is that really what it
says? That's what it says, VD special. But I'm assuming it means Valentine's Day special.
You're assuming.
Nope.
But, yeah. I know. There's a new commercial about that, too. There's I think a Sheetz commercial about that.
Valentine's Day?
No, about assuming. And then they both, in the car, she wants to get something to eat and wants to stop at Sheetz, and he's like, gas station? And then he assumes something. She's like, you know what happens, you assume, and then they both turn into donkeys.
Oh, I thought they were...
I don't write this stuff, man. shoot, I was going to say something about something, but now I forgot.
Say it.
Thank God. Oh, Spider-Man, Deadpool. I thought it was funny. As I was putting the books out this morning...
I didn't think it was funny.
As I was putting the books out...
The problem.
The new Deadpool Merc for Money thick, and I'm like, and sadly I had a variant, and I'm like, gosh, what book did they reprint in the back of this?
Spidey number one,
right? And I tweeted about that this morning. I said, why would you put an all ages book, so that for people to read in a parental advisory book?
You know why.
I know, but the kids that Spidey book is aimed at aren't going to read it because it's a parental advisory.
But
book.
I think it's the flip side of that is. The people that are going to read the parental advisory aren't going to go for an all-ages book.
Right.
And this might be the way to get them to do that.
But
either for themselves, they like it, or they say, oh, I bet my kid would like that.
But it just seemed odd. The marketing doesn't really work.
I don't have a problem with that. I think that makes sense. It wouldn't have made sense the other way around.
No, but it, I don't know.
But it's another thing that they're trying to sell an all-ages... they're trying to sell Deadpool to kids still, but they're trying to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you had a little girl in here when we were in here earlier and got a bunch of Deadpool stuff, and I'm thinking,
I hope their parents looked at that
before they bought it.
How much can you really complain, though, about them putting a free issue?
I'm not complaining about that. I'm just wondering about your marketing audience. I don't think the people that are reading Deadpool are going to want to care about an all-ages Spidey book. That's all.
Yeah, it just seemed
a weird. I'd rather see that in like Squirrel Girl or
Vision was
something like
Spider-Man
that. It just
Deadpool.
Seemed an odd book to put it in. That was all.
I guess put it somewhere where it's in its scene.
Yeah, but they probably would have been better off putting a Weird World number one in that if they're pushing Weird World so hard. Mm-hmm. Just the Spidey, that just seemed weird. It seemed like a waste of effort. That was all, and a waste of paper. So
Colin.
Yeah.
Where can
you can find me at home in bed because I'm exhausted.
Ooh, an invitation, ladies. Make your way down to Peter's Township.
No. You can find me website pittsburghcomics.com and Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics and at PGH Comics on Twitter. We just recorded a new TV show on Monday that should probably go up soon, as long as I got to get them all the covers. I forgot to send them the covers.
Oh, Preview Theater.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it for a while. I think you've done four. This will be four.
Five.
I missed a few of that.
So that should be going up soon. One other thing, Comics Pro meeting. I'm leaving in 2 weeks from today. Actually, I will be in Portland 2 weeks from today. It's a real neat event where I meet, and it's with all the publisher reps, sales guys, things like that, tons of other stores. it's great for me. I really get recharged, come back with new ideas, new information, hopefully. But my thing to you, the listeners and the guys at the table, is let me know any questions you have for the publishers. Now, not, you know, who could win between Batman and Captain America, or why don't we have more whatever comics?
The answer is Batman.
Where's Superman's underwear?
Yeah. Not questions like that, but are you going to collect this story? What, we haven't seen this in a while. Are you guys going to do this? Is this coming back into print? Is this... Have you thought of doing this? You know, anything like that. Just as an example.
Please ask if Rebirth is going to suck.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear all about Rebirth. But just as an example, a couple years ago at the meeting, it was during the first season of Arrow, and I mentioned that, you know, the show clearly was based on the Mike Grell run of Green Arrow. That was not in print at all. Even Longbow Hunters, I think, at that point was out of print. And I said, you know, this would be perfect stuff. For the people that like the show, I can get them on the comics. It's not identical, but it definitely, it's the same feel. In the green, in the Mike Grell run, he was living up in the Pacific Northwest, taking on, like, corporations and corruption, not so much fighting villains, you know, or, you know, superpowered villains, but it was more him against society.
He was kind of an environmentalist, wasn't he, a lot of
In Arrow, he's not so much, but the whole, you have failed this city, you know, was definitely the
Batman
feel of that.
Kinda.
And about 2 months later in previews, all of a sudden, poof, there was the first trade offered, and they're up to, I think, volume 4 now, so clearly it's worked for them. But it's nice that they listen to us. You know, I wasn't asking for anything ridiculous or anything, it was just a suggestion. But they took it, and it's a nice thing, especially DC, where they do listen to us. They do, you know, because we have some good ideas.
That's before they had their corporate overlord master.
Well, they might still, but because I think all of them are looking for information from the front lines.
Yeah. They'd be dying to hear from you.
Right. Yeah. You know, there was one talk I saw on the Comics Pro board talking about a retailer advisory committee. That, you know, they probably don't want us, but they need us. And it might be something good for them to say, hey, we have this idea, what do you think? And we could respond as people here. There was a tweet sketched, the podcast that I listen to, also has a website and on Twitter. He, I don't know if he interviewed, but it was Big Bang Comics out in Dublin, Ireland. And he got, it was basically an article and basically... It was a really good thing saying, talking directly to retailers. Hey guys, you know, remember you're selling to us, or to, not so much to the companies, but to creators, and how to help promote your books and things like that. And I know that Adam mentioned on Facebook, he's like, you know, this is like classroom 101 for me. But now Adam was a retailer, so he knew all that stuff. But it was just nice, you
Adam
know,
who are you
Adam Freeman,
Valiant, not on Facebook. I don't follow him right now.
I understand, but that's what I was, that's
not
what I was talking about.
I don't do
no, Atom. A-T-O-M. So it was just really interesting, but it's just nice to see the publishers going, hey, this is great, you know, thanks for this info. And they are generally pretty receptive to stuff. You know, whatever, you know, if I gave Valiant a new promotion idea, if it made sense, they'd probably, you know, they'd run with
it. I'd like to know from Valiant if they have, because... I'm looking for this. I know a lot of other people aren't, but some people come into the store looking for those Nintendo comics. Why, if they could,
yeah,
if they still
that's
have,
I doubt it. I doubt
I
bet the licensing went back to Nintendo.
That's what I think. The Nintendo
when Valiant first started, they were publishing Nintendo comics. Yeah. That was their first.
I'd love to see those in trades, but it's just like you can't find them in
issues. I'll ask them, but I'm guessing it's a completely
different. I'm
going to
say that too, but I'd just be curious if there is.
Yeah, when everything went up for grabs,
yeah,
I think that's what happened.
But, yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff. And I would happily ask the questions. But, yeah, pretty much every publisher you can think of is going to be there.
He spends most of his time with Boom.
Just in the
Boom RV.
No, but it, but it, it
just
but
the
that,
Boom bus.
That's the other
after
thing.
After that,
at the bar,
any questions
Boom RV. But just,
yeah,
you know,
Boom RV.
They, I mean,
Boom
they,
bus sounds better.
But, I mean, granted, they prime you with alcohol, but they also get you in there so they can pitch their books.
That's
but,
how that website works.
But there's
the only way that website's going to work.
But there's lots of, I mean, it's just, it's a lot of fun, but it's also fun for me being with 100 and so other retailers who are, and that's where you realize they're all having the same problems I'm having. That's the best thing about the Facebook group for
Except
Comics
for
Pro.
Except for the brisket addiction. That's all you.
Except for the
you never know.
He's broken himself for that.
But on the Facebook page, you know, it's like, it's great hearing that everybody's struggling with the Marvel. It's underperforming. It's not just me. Because I really tried to get Dan to go.
What do the Marvel stores have to say about this? Like, because that's a, I mean, everyone's just going to point at you and go, yeah, you're a DC store. Yeah. Of course you're bitching about it. But are Marvel stores bitching to Marvel about, like, I can see a Marvel store saying to DC, hey, you know, hey, DC, you failed. This is on you. But would they go back to Marvel and say, you came out with 75 books and 3/4 of them were selling under 10 copies?
Yeah. I mean, I never get a chance to talk to Marvel, so, but I'm sure they, Marvel's attitude is also, like, they don't, they never, it's always a surprise to them when they hear about the bad paper quality. Oh, if you haven't heard that, no, everybody seems to like our paper quality. Yeah, but I mean, that's the kind of answer you get from them. So I'm sure they would say that everybody, they're selling great, they don't know what you're talking about. Look at the sales charts. So, so it's that kind of stuff. So, yeah, 2 weeks. I mean, if you have any questions, I mean, it's not, doesn't matter. It's just, I'll gladly ask any question you have. It's nice to go there kind of armed with some stuff. So when you sit down, because the one neat thing you do is they do these round tables where there's 30 or so round tables set up, and you have between 5 and 10 minutes at each table for them to kind of make your pitch or to take your feedback. A lot of them for the new publishers, like Aftershock, will be there to introduce themselves to us. Hey, here's who we are. Here's what we have. Things like that, which is great where you get to see stuff. There's many products that I've actually hadn't ordered but did after seeing it. It was one I mentioned. It was like Red Handed League or something that I think was from First Second that I upped my order because the production quality of the book was so neat and so interesting that I enjoyed it. And one fun thing is like Boom just had their 10th year. Last year was their 10th year. Oni Press 10th year is this year, and it's just like this is also going to be my 10th year, so it's kind of we're all the same age.
You like came
it's
up together.
Cool, yeah. Same graduating class. So I'm doing that. So yeah, that's 2 weeks. That's kind of freaky. When I paid for everything, it was back in December, and it was so far away. It's always crazy when it's this close. But it's all, I mean, it's nice to get away from home and from the store for a little bit.
That's why you come back recharged.
Yeah, could be. I got to start working on my sleep thing, though. Because I remember last year, that was not good. The 3-hour time difference kicked my butt. Every night, you know, it's like it's midnight and I'm trying to stay awake and it's, you know, 3 a.m. my body's saying, you know, so even at, you know, 9 o'clock I'm starting to droop. So...
So, like, 6 o'clock, as soon as you get there, take a nap.
But I get there at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Never mind.
See, that's what I mean. That's my problem. So I'll get there at 10 o'clock at night, and then my eyes are going to open at 5 a.m., and that's where my problem. So I'm actually going to – I remember last year, I'm like, okay, I got to – and even, like, San Diego was brutal, too. Just start staying up later.
We feel so bad about that.
No, I'm just saying it – San Diego stunk. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. and there's nothing to do, especially in my hotel that was, you know, a closet. There really wasn't much to do.
Yeah,
and, you know,
nothing to do.
You go over to Starbucks and you're like, yay, I'm at Starbucks, and I still have nothing to do. So, but, well, since Adam walked away, Dave? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We have two sales going on right now.
Do you want me to? Okay, Josh?
Tell me your sales.
Do that one. You do that one.
Well, all month long, February is Valiant Month, so...
Oh, and I have to admit to something. Josh created a fantastic post on the website that I've gotten a lot of compliments on.
Really?
I did not have anything to do with it. It was all Josh.
We know.
He did all the work, so I just wanted to get that out there. That's all. Now you can go. I was giving you praise.
Well, you said go, and then you stopped me.
Well, because I realized I wanted to get that out there.
We know it was somebody else, because it was fantastic. So how did it go? What's going on, Josh?
So, as part of Colin's new initiative for 2016, every month he wants to feature either a smaller publisher or characters or something that... It's late, man.
No.
That really
we're closing in on 3 hours
here. Deserves some more attention. So for the first month of this, he decided to do Valiant. So February's Valiant month. All the Valiant trades are double points throughout the month. If you come down and check out a Valiant trade, we also have the Battle Axe. Colin's taking pictures of people with their trade and the Battle Axe with the goal of sending all these to Valiant at the end to kind of show them, you know...
We're a Valiant store.
A Valiant store, and Colin's appreciation of them for how much they do, you know, for the retailers and how much they really reach out and try to make them partners.
They sent us a Battle Axe.
They did! Yeah,
it is. It's nice. Nobody sent us a... Something that real before.
And we're also working on...
Make sure you wear a flyer shirt when you get your picture taken, too.
That's highly encouraged.
And we're working on a possible contest or giveaway. We're working with Valiant. Valiant looks like they might be sponsoring something, so there'll be more information on that. But that's running all of February. Most of their trades, the Volume 1s, most of them are $9.99. So it's a pretty easy jumping on point. And if you check out the post, which will be on the front page of the website all month long, it... kind of has a, you know what you should read based on what you're interested in, at least for the Volume 1s, so the big jumping on points. So
they're here on the wall when you walk up the door.
Yeah, and if you're part of the points program, you know, once you hit, you know, get your 100 points, it's a free trade. You know, and like Josh said, the number 1s are, I think, uniformly all $9.99.
Yeah, when it first launched, they had a couple that were $14.99, but I think they've gone back through and the reprints are now $10 to make it uniform.
So, Josh said, he did a real good recap. So you can see, you know, there's a great variety of stuff. And, you know, give one a try. You might like it.
It's it's a really great, highly curated shared universe. They don't flood you with books. They keep about 10 books ongoing each month. And then whenever that story comes to conclusion, they end the book, start a different book, and then they may revisit it down the road. But it's a very well thought out shared universe. And it's unique, and it's a nice alternative to the other shared universes that you might be reading with Marvel and DC.
And they also have really good writers and artists on it.
They have very high quality writers and artists.
It's, you know, Jeff Lemire's doing a book.
Matt Kent is doing a book. Robert Venditti, James Asmus.
Clayton Crane is Clayton doing art and Ryan's a lot of it. So,
their events are four-issue miniseries normally. Yeah. They don't force you to buy a bunch of stuff. It's a really well-done method, and I'd love to see them get more attention.
And you just sold them all to Pat.
Yeah, Pat has really gotten into it. With his disappointment with the Big Two, he's given it a shot.
Here's an ongoing joke around here.
It's an end book.
Now Pat is transferring us into the other sale. I just finished up, actually during the snowstorm, the inventory of the trades, which takes a long time to
since the last time
count them
snowed.
All. Yeah, and as I'm doing it, I'm realizing I'm counting books that I've never sold. You know, it's been on the shelf since it came in and hasn't sold. And part of the problem with that is, like last year when I brought in the new shelves because I desperately needed them, I lost some of the racks. And I lost, the books sell much better when you can look at the cover than look at the spine. And now the books tend to go spine out much quicker. But there's a lot of great books here that just, unless you're looking for it and you know about it, you're not going to find. You're not going to randomly go, oh, what's this? Unless you're literally standing looking at the shelf. So I'm thinking, how can I get you to stand and literally look on the shelves to see what's there? So I decided to do a sale. I realized between February and May, or from February through April, are 13 weeks. So... holy cow, there's 26 letters of the alphabet. So if I do two letters of the alphabet a week, I can have a 13-week-long sale that's not going to get stale. It's not the same, oh, I'm going to do a back issue sale for 13 weeks, the same thing. Every week, I'm going to there's going to be two letters that are going to be on sale. And so right now, 25% off is letter A and letter N. Next week, it'll be letter B. And O, and then C and P, and you should be able to figure this one out on your own. So every week, and basically I'm trying to get you to come in and look at the A section and go, holy cow, I never knew there was this book.
What's your number one A recommendation?
Oh, you can't put me on this. No.
I got it.
Avengers.
American Vampire.
Not at 11
American
o'clock
Vampire.
At night.
Good, Vampire. Good pick, Adam.
Yep.
It's a great book.
It is.
And for N, Patch is Grub Ninja.
Right.
And
okay, so they get, if they do a Valiant, it starts with N, so they get
the right,
25%
off. Right, so you're going to get 25% off and double points.
Yeah, the sales are cumulative.
Yeah, but now if you get a book that has, like, A and N in the title, you're not getting 50% off.
Whoa,
sorry.
That's
no,
crazy.
No.
No.
Well, I got two N's and an A in Ninjax. So
no,
like
no, but I mean, like, if it was...
Off,
but
right?
Now,
Vanna, your call.
I am a little lenient
You aren't
on
Alphabet
this.
Hitler, is what you're saying.
Right, so... say, if you wanted to get Secret Avengers right now... Yeah. I could probably be persuaded that that's an A book.
And then so or, these, if the source material or the subject of the book,
right? I can
letter.
Be
okay.
Yeah. I am
somebody
lenient.
Came in and he you allowed it Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, he got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I let
N.
that go as an N,
which makes sense. But it just can't
I'm,
have it like
right.
the end of
I'm
the
not,
second word of the name.
Yeah,
that just happened to be Ninja Turtle.
Right. So I'm lenient, but my idea is for you to go in and look at the N's and go. Oh, what's this? And pull it out and go, well, this looks interesting. That's yeah. just what I'm trying
You'll
to do.
You'll work
just because,
with them, but you got to take them seriously a little bit on the sale.
Well, not, oh, it has an A in it. You know, like I had a guy thought it was
Batman.
A through N. I'm like,
I know another word that has an A.
I think
in
it's
it,
pretty
in.
Clearly A.
Half of my trades are 25%.
Yeah. So for 13 weeks, yay. That's called the going out of business sale. But yeah, it's just I'm trying to figure out ways to do something different. Like I try a lot of different. No, I'm just saying I try to. I'm
so
tired. It's
know,
11 o'clock
just,
at night.
It just sounded sad.
No, but like during the Festivus
this
sale,
is Colin's rebirth.
I try to do a lot of different things during Festivus, and so I'm trying to come up with some different ideas. I was actually just brainstorming, sitting. I was having a lot of fun with the notes feature on my phone, just punching in a lot of different ideas, just kind of brainstorming to myself. But you know, because normally I'll write it down somewhere and then lose the piece of paper.
Maybe
really
if
good
the
at that.
Temperature also is kind of
you know what
odd, you
today was fantastic for that, but I don't like to do sales on.
Seems like we've had odd temperatures, so maybe a spring though might. You never know.
Well, spring's right around the corner, right? According to Phil.
He's obviously right, because today felt like...
Yeah,
yeah, but it's supposed to snow next week.
Yeah. He can't get it
Global
all.
Warming.
He can't get it yeah. He didn't
so,
factor that
I think that's all
He's just a groundhog. You can't expect so much.
See, now you're good.
I'm good.
Okay, so now Adam can...
Now,
that's
can
the
Adam
podcast. You wanted it exciting a lot. Do you want other
that
variations?
Just a,
that's a
sing
podcast,
it?
Colin.
It's the penultimate podcast before
Whoa.
Colin goes to Portland.
And
yeah, and you guys will probably do one when I'm not here. So.
I can do that.
Yeah, that way we can talk about you.
Yeah, that's fine. look, Colin's tweeting. He's drunk.
What's going on back there?
The credit card machine is batching out. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.